But did you start to hate each other in the van too? Like, I assume
fuck
somebody.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Dude, me and the other main guy that sang, like, we all kind of got on each other's nerves, but me and the main guy that sang that was like kind of like my more like my brother,
yeah,
we got in fucking real fist fight. Like,
really?
Oh. You spend that much time with someone that's, and then there's on top of that, there's this weird young people jockeying for who's more, you know, the
important.
Yeah, 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 dude.
Who's the leader of it?
Who's the leader of the whole thing? That
real.
But he was like my best friend at the time too, so we would fight more than everyone else. But people would hate each other.
Wow.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight?
I'm Ari Shaffir, and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Sketch a Tank podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to talk to Ryan Long about his time in the Warped Tour. Ryan Long's a great addition to the New York comedy scene. He came here, like, I guess right before COVID. It was right before COVID. I do remember when he was around during COVID, and I was trying to limit the amount of people we were around, and Ryan was there. I was like, I don't know if I trust him. Isn't it fun, the beginning of COVID, when you were just like, I don't know if I trust you? As if it's some, as if everyone you're seeing is some whore that might have fucking chlamydia. He was borderline. I liked him, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're just fucking breathing on people. What a wild time. What a wild time. Anyway, he's here now. He's got his podcast, The Boys Cast, but he's also right now got a new special on YouTube called White Immigrant. Please check it out. There'll be a link at the bottom of this podcast, wherever you're listening to it or watching it. Before we start, I got some dates real quick. Let me just run them down. But I want to tell you how to prepare properly for your ski trip. First, just so you know, all tickets are at arishafir.com. I got Fort Wayne, Indiana, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Appleton, Wisconsin, St. Louis, Buffalo, New York, Louisville, Kentucky, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Chicago, New York. Tickets are at arishafir.com for all those shows. So a lot of people say, Ari, how do you prepare properly for skiing? Well, what you want is a lot of different things. A balaclava is important. Cover up those nose. A thicker balaclava for your neck. You want some joints in a dube tube of some kind. Torch lighter is important because it's cold on those slopes. If you're lighting up on a lift right next to some lady, you don't want to be fumbling for your lighters. You want to just torch it up. And she's like, well, I never. I'm like, I'll be out of here in a second, you old hag. Nice gloves. Mushies. Flask to keep you warm. You want to keep warm at all moments, and some hand warmers, and that's it. That's all you need. Oh, and a nice jersey so that people can find you when you're on the slopes and taking way too long to get to the lift. That's it. That's my tips. And now, if you don't mind, by the way, I have a new Patreon up. It's a solo Patreon, a driving Patreon at patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. Another one will be up next week, probably with Ryan O'Neill. But maybe, I don't know, maybe with these guys I'm skiing with. What a fucking fun time in what's it called? In Salt Lake. What fun shows. They were great. They were great. Shane Gillis was a secret guest. Sean Patton was a secret guest. Ian Finance and Ryan Hamilton did sets. And then me, Norman, and O'Neill and Renazisi. It was great. What a fun time. By the way, I was in Vail, Colorado. Just a real quick tip for a sponsor, okay? Because, well, by the way, let's just take a quick word from our sponsor. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Sketch a Tank is brought to you by 3chi.com. That's right. 3chi.com. When you're out skiing and having a good time and you want to get fucked up and it's too cold or windy to light up joints, what you want to do is take a 3chi gummy. 3chi gummy. 3chi is Delta 8 THC. Delta 8 THC is pretty much THC. It's not CBD. It'll get you fucked up and you will die if you operate heavy machinery. It'll get you fucked up for real. I got the swims on a plane once, which means it's working. I'm like, oh, fuck, I took too much. You can take too much, so be careful. 3chi.com. They have the best purveyors of Delta 8 gummies, tinctures, oils, all sorts of stuff. Go to 3chi.com right now. If you use the promo code ARI at checkout, get 5% off your order. That's right. You want to get fucked up? No better place than 3chi.com. It's made by a, scientist in the United States of America with USA-grown hemp or weed products or something like that. If you don't know what Delta 8 is, it's like THC. It just like spreads it out all over your body. It's like 70%, but then all over. Your fucking toes feel it. 3chi.com. Get your quality Delta 8 right now. I was up at Two Elks Lodge in Vail, and we're there, me and my friends, and this dude Tom recognized me, came out and said, "Hey, Ari Shafir." I'm like, "Yeah, man." He's like, "Hey, how you been? I see you're up here." It was towards the end of the day. We were about ready to head down. He's like, "Before you head down, and it's so nice up there. The view's beautiful." He comes out with six Modelos in cans. He goes, "Just thought you and your friends would like to drink some Modelos up here." And we did. We sat there and we drank those Modelos. And as people left and the sun was setting, it was just gorgeous. It's one of those things that when you're a comic, those little things that help you. I was telling Ryan Hamilton this. The real people that keep us in business are the ones that give us your cable passwords, your Netflix passwords when we're young, struggling comics. Buy us a lunch or fucking, here's some fucking mushies or here's some weed while you're on the road. That's a shit that keeps a struggling comic mentally staying in business, and then it'll turn into the Kevin Harts of the world. For real. So thank you, Tom, for those Modelos, and thank you for giving me more on the way down. We drank them on the way down, and I did bash my fucking skull. Thank you for the Smith's helmet. I think I'm supposed to trade it out now, but it's not going to happen. Anyway, did I do my dates? I did everything. Patreon, blah, blah, blah. Guys, please subscribe. Do me a favor. That's it. And now, me and Ryan Long start an episode called The Warp Tour. Here we go.
And I've been gone for a long time. And I've been gone for a long time. And I've been gone for a long time. And everything that I can say, don't think about it, I'm resting. Now I'm in a better place. I don't have the phone that rings. My purpose sinks and I'll sit. I won't stop for anything. So, what you gonna say, my love? Gonna buy me?
What?
Gonna try me?
No.
Gonna want me? Gonna think of anything you can just to buy me? Even when you know you were never really part of me. So, is the real me? Huh? And it's the new me. Sort of thing you think I knew, or you've been naughty. Do we realize I wasn't real?
And I've been gone for a long time. And I've been gone for a long time. And I've been gone for a long time.
So let's talk more about this fucking music career, because I didn't know this about you at all.
No, you know, you don't. I mean, some of the stuff's just on my YouTube channel, but you do sort of. I feel like mentally, a lot of times you have to fucking just leave it.
What do you mean?
You know, just everything. You go, if you're switching to a new thing, you can't be like the guy that's, oh, remember college? Fuck, that was sick.
Right.
You just have to be like, that's over. And people go, oh, do you do music? It's over. And you're Brian.
John Hughes was working on a before he died. About a movie taking all of his characters that exist in the same universe and seeing what they're up to now.
Yeah.
And the guy from 16 Candles, the little nerd one, he's cool now.
Okay.
He's like an adult. He has a real job, you know? He's a real well-paid job.
Oh, and he, yeah, that's
yeah, and it's like, now you're Bill Gates. You're like, not a nerd. You know, you're Bill
Weird.
Gates. You know? But Ferris Bueller is some middle management guy who's still talking about that one awesome day he had.
Oh! I thought you meant the actors.
Right. No. Yeah, no. The characters.
Yeah. That's,
so Ferris Bueller.
I thought
is
you
now,
meant with the actors.
Was, yeah. In this movie, he never got to do before he died. Was 46 and was like, dude, this one day.
He's at the
I took
bar.
Off. I went to the ballpark. I pretended I was the sausage king of Chicago.
No, why?
And everyone's like, shut up.
The reason why that was making me think of the actors is because when I was in Hollywood when I was younger, my buddy said that he saw Ferris Bueller's buddy, the friend, working at a soup kitchen.
Fry.
Yeah, and he was or out of soup kitchen. He was like homeless or something. But now he's in movies and stuff, so I don't know if it makes checked out. He takes it to the grave that guy was homeless. You don't think it was true?
No, no way.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller. Yeah, but the guy that just fucking like, because you could think about that anything. You go, that fucking period was sick. But you go, yeah, it's over. Move on.
It's over. Or Al Bundy talking about when he scored four touchdowns in one game.
Yeah, which is
it's
funny.
Like super sad and funny on purpose. Did you tour a lot as a headliner?
So we would probably do. At our biggest in major cities, we would do about 1,000 people.
Damn.
Yeah, so we would sell out
like Irving Plaza.
Yeah, I don't know what Irving Plaza is, but we'd sell out
about 1,250 something like that.
Well, you know Toronto. Do you know the Opera House?
Yeah, I've never
mod
been
club
in
place like. Well, okay. Anyways, I would sell it. We did probably our biggest run. We did about 1,000 in, you know, Toronto, Montreal, a couple, you know, then 500 in, you know, the Edmontons of the world, kind of things like that. But yeah. Then we did a lot of tours, like we did America with a bunch of big bands here, like we did Less Than Jake and fucking.
Less Than Jake's. I love Less Than Jake.
Yeah, dude, we toured with those guys.
Their whole like real big cover fit. Song albums, you know,
yeah,
and it was
great.
Just like this,
Goodbye,
this
Blue and White.
Ska punk. Version of
yeah, Goodbye Blue and White.
That's what it was called. That's yeah. The album. Oh man, what a fun one!
That was incredible.
Yeah,
and then we did arenas with a few bands in Canada, but the
that must have been fun doing an arena.
Dude, arenas ruled.
What is it like when you walk out on stage at like a?
You never done arena? I would have thought you would.
I know, but I've asked Rogan. I was like, hey, put me on, but no, yeah, what's going on? Schedule hasn't worked out. My friends just started doing them.
Right, and you have a lot of friends doing
them.
Yeah,
Sal was like, one time he invited me down, I was like, I'm on the road to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you got a lot of buddies doing
it.
And
I'm like, I just want to do it to
Yo,
do
can
it.
Yo, you do a spot? You're just trying to hop on
That's
for
it.
Spot?
I'm like, you don't have to pay me. Yeah, but yeah, they're like, it's not really a guest spot situation. it's yeah, you know, the Bell Center. I'm like, oh, yeah, but I just want to try it.
Yeah.
It seems like just like the coming out and seeing all those people would be like.
Do you know, I did feel like, do you know the Skankfest vibe where it's kind of everyone's kicking around? I feel like the arenas does have a little bit like that vibe where it's just kind of like, you know, there's like a bus area and then there's kind of like a cafeteria and you kind of just walk around like, oh, what do you guys have to do? Everyone's sort of poking around. You know, someone, then there's kind of like people doing interviews here and there and you kind of.
That's
just,
like music festivals will do that.
Yeah.
Where you'll be back there getting your lunch because technically you're an artist. That's what Jay told me. He's like, it's not technical. We're doing comedy at Blues Fest. We are the artists. I'm like, yeah, but not really. He goes, no, yes, really. We're the same as a 3 o'clock band. There's no difference.
It's higher. I mean, yeah, I think it's higher.
Yeah, we're on later. We're on at 7:30 and 9.
Well, this is the thing that I think probably a lot of your friends, like, you know, the Skanks guys and stuff like that. Like, you know, Jay, like, I feel like I've heard, or to me, the amount of times comedians would be like, oh, I wish I was like a rock star. Like they think, whereas I kind of look at that like, oh, they're still doing that, huh? Like I have like this.
Still doing what?
Being a fucking musician. Like I have almost disdain for it. The way that a comedian that like left comedy and then became this, started like a huge company probably looks like, oh, you guys still doing your, like I kind of have disdain. I don't know if disdain is the right word, but you know what I mean?
That's weird.
Like I don't look at it.
I bet they
as positive.
Would look down on us like, oh, you still doing your comedy? But like I'll see someone who doesn't do comedy anymore. And they'll maybe be like network executives or writers and stuff. And I look at them like, I pity you.
Well, that's crappy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of the band guy that now like runs a label or works at a label. Yeah. You go, oh, you were in the band and now you work at Universal.
And they're
that's
constantly
not cool.
Like, well, you know, I used to be in a band, so I know. It's like, you used to be, dude. Quit telling me my fucking life.
That ain't sick. You got to get out of the whole thing.
Yeah, get out. Exactly. I've had representatives who like, you know, I did comedy for like a year. And it's like, you're an open micer. It's offensive you telling me any
Very
of your
different.
Experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the dentist is like, I play guitar.
Yeah.
You go, I bet you do.
I remember being backstage at Blues Fest once and high wind, so Black Keys couldn't go on. And then I saw them there, just like they were having lunch or whatever, or dinner. And then I was like, you guys going on? And the guy just kind of looked at me and then just like went back to what he was saying. And I'm like, what does that mean? I was like, do you have any intel yet if you're going on? And he just like wouldn't even say like, don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'll still support them. Hi, everybody. I'm back on tour, and it's been going great. I got some big dates I want to tell you about. First of all, the pre-sale starts right now. The main sale starts Friday for Minneapolis, June 17th, and Chicago, June 18th. Tickets are rhgfair.com. Use promo code JEW at checkout for the pre-sale on Friday. Just get tickets regularly, but you want to get on there ahead of time. I think the pre-sale is still going on right now. Until maybe right up until Friday. I'm not sure, but just hurry up and get there. It's the Pantages Theater in Minneapolis and the Vic Theater in Chicago, Illinois. I was back at the Vic before. It was with Ryan O'Neill. I'll probably be with somebody else this time. But I might be with Ryan. I don't know. I'll figure it out for all of them. So also, here's my dates. Me, Big J, and Robert Kelly added another show in Fort Wayne, Indiana. First show sold out. So hurry up and get tickets for that. AriShafir.com for all tickets. And then we got Grand Rapids on March 25th. At 20 Monroe Live, and March 26th at the Fillmore in Detroit, Michigan. Come on out for that. Appleton, Wisconsin, March 31st, April 1st and 2nd. St. Louis Helium, April 21st to 23rd. Helium in Buffalo, April 28th through 30th. What do we got? Louisville, Kentucky at Louisville Comedy Club, May 5th to the 7th. And that's it. I think I might do a residency in maybe Austin. Austin, Vancouver, or LA. But I think I'm leaning towards Austin. Memorial Day weekend and the week leading up to it. And then that's it. And then Chicago and Chicago, Minneapolis, June 18th and 17th. Minneapolis, June 17th. Chicago, June 18th. Get all tickets at arishafir.com and save the date. June 11th, New York City. Hopefully announced we're coming next week. Now back to the episode.
That's one of the biggest things that fucking... that also, in addition to thinking it's cool, that comedians miss, I feel like, about... that there used to be like an old thing where it's if you want to... you know, if you want someone to do your social media for your company, hire like a 19-year-old in the band, you know, or whatever, 16-year-old in the band. Like that would be... really, he would be the best at it.
Yeah.
But there's... comedians have this very, you know, it's all about being the best, which you want to be excellent at the craft. But I feel people in bands all know that, like, yeah, we're not that good at instruments. Like, it's not about that. Like, right. They understand the...
it's about presentation.
But it's all about, like, culture.
Sex Pistols were bad at music.
Right.
They were like, we don't know more than three chords.
Yeah, especially when you're young.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's about our rage. And like, fuck the queen.
Have you never been on stage where... you go, this isn't my best joke, but you can feel everyone in the crowd being kind of like, yo, what the fuck? Like, just like, oh, like that. You're kind of searching for that thing that like scratches an itch where everyone's
scratch
like,
an itch.
Oh, fuck, this is sick. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you
thanks
know,
for putting it into words.
That band that kind of came in that was, you know, everything was a certain way. And then some band just did it different. Everyone's like, who the fuck are these guys? And comics, I think, you know, some, that's why comics, you know, at that time they were better, and sometimes they don't change, and then you go, yeah, it's still, I guess, is good, but it's missing the part that was awesome about it, which is the cultural context. I feel like musicians get that more of what, you know, why you go, so imagine you're like an emo band now and you go, they're fucking incredible, and you, everyone kind of know, yeah, who gives, who cares? So it's kind of like a certain type of comic, and then being like, they're the best, that you don't understand how they kill, and you'd be like, who gives a
dated
shit?
Nobody does this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I feel like that's one thing that comedians
Simpsons had that where I saw this breakdown of what happened to the Simpsons, and it was like when they started, they were a critique of the modern American sitcom. And how everything was like golden and great, whatever.
And then they became.
And there was this bad father who beat his kid sometimes, and like, you know, had dysfunction and stuff. And it was like, whoa, this has never been done before. And then sitcoms in 10, 12 years caught up. And then
they had
dysfunctional. They got Married with Children. They got, that was just the first one. There were tons of dysfunctional families. And so then it's like, Simpsons, what are you replying to?
Yeah.
Nothing. That thing is not there anymore. So you're still railing against the thing.
So the energy's gone.
Yes, and now it's just it's like a sketch show.
There's so much thing that the thing you're making fun of doesn't exist anymore.
Right, right.
I feel like...
I've seen dated comics where like, hey, dude, you're so out of touch. That's not true.
Yeah. You know? No,
maybe
they don't
that was true
that.
When you wrote this joke 15 years
they go,
ago.
Everyone thinks like, this. You go, no, they don't.
There's black skateboarders now.
yeah.
That's a normal thing.
It's like a pretty, the famous ones are black now.
Yeah. It's like, that's, you're going off a reference. It's so old.
Well, that goes, remember when we were talking about the, you know, the young people comedy, but think about everyone, and it's almost fun to do still, but the cop trope of like, hey, Riggs, like you almost have to be making fun of the trope now.
Exactly.
Like you're making fun of that people think it's funny to say, you're like, we're doing an impression of a cop show, right? Like you can't actually be, like we're making fun of cop shows. You go, well, they don't do that
though. They don't have a cop show anymore.
So you're just, and I think like, you know, what Tim and Eric and guys like that, they were making fun of cable television tropes or whatever, and then that became a genre of comedy.
The fake public access.
Yeah, it's a genre of, it became a genre.
I never liked those because it always fell into just silliness for the sake of silliness.
Well, that's what it became, but at the time it wasn't, I don't think.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'd say the exact same argument with them where you go, at the time it was like a critique.
You're like, what is this?
Yeah. You're fucking with, I mean, that's a lot of... who's the most famous guy that did the stuff in the TVs that everyone remember? He had I can't remember. I'm forgetting this guy's name. Remember, he had the guy, the body double that would come play him. That's still alive, I think, like that. Andy Kaufman.
Oh yeah.
But you know, he was doing these things that were sort of, you know, critiques or whatever. And then I think a lot of people were like, yeah, well, oh, we're like wacky, and you go, well, wackiness for the sake of wackiness is kind of like
right.
Gross.
You only
to
see
watch.
A skeleton of what they were doing. They're being wacky, but they're doing it as a statement. You're just like, I can also be wacky. Like, yeah, you missed it.
Yeah, even with, you know, when you look at music, a lot of it is the when you have the heaviest bands, a lot of times that gets popular as like a response to music getting too pussified or whatever, right?
Right.
And I think even right now in comedy, you would say that. Do you not see there's like a thirst for kind of more aggression?
Yeah, I see it as I constantly quote this, Shane Gillis, but it goes, you have like four comics in a row going, injustice is wrong, injustice is wrong. Then like this audience just needs you to go the opposite. So it's almost easy where you just, all you got to go, you just got to go, injustice rules. And yeah. Everyone's like, yes, because like we know you're joking enough with the,
yeah.
Give it up for the troops of
you
of
pulled
morality.
The fucking pin out of the whole thing.
Yeah. And so it's like, maybe there were too many hard F-bombs, you know?
Yeah.
But then they took it down to zero. They took it from 20 an hour to zero an hour. So the crowd actually wanted about 3 an hour. So now there's zero. So now people are like, give us a hard fact. You know what I mean? Give us one of those. And so when you do that, like, wow.
You are so jazzed.
Yeah. It's like some hardness is now sought after.
And then they're kind of like, oh, you're being aggressive. You're like, I'm only doing it because like,
no one's
that,
touching
my pulse
this hole.
On the read was that it some like they like someone needs to say this. It's like the elephant in the room that's all tense.
For sure. For sure. You see everyone fucking getting too upset about some topical thing and they're like, let me go the other way.
Yeah, and then it goes,
This angle's covered. Let me go the other way. Come on up, Bennett.
And then it also will go and then it swings the other way. So
yeah. Yeah, and then it's too much and then it's like, yeah.
But to be like, so that's to me, I'm like, the other part where you go, okay, I'm going to fucking try to be good at writing, try to keep getting better at comedy, do your sets. But the part that to me is the important to pay attention to is like what like needs to be said or, you know, what's the energy where you're fucking like, all right, I'm doing something here. And if you lose that, you go, now I'm just fucking saying jokes. Like, now I'm just a clown.
It is funny when you ride the wave and you're like really like talking about some dark shit. And,
yeah, you're
and getting laughs. And it's like, this is the best. This is why all the failures are worth.
Yeah.
Like one moment on stage where you're really like talking about the benefits of the Russian invasion, you know, or something like that. And, and they're on your wavelength. They know you're lying, but you're making good points anyway. And it's just like, that's like worth the 20 bombs before.
That's the best part of comedy. And the worst part of comedy is you being spending months writing. And you go, I'm fucking murdering. And then you do your old joke and it does way better. that's the worst part of comedy.
Yeah, something you're way past. And you're like, damn it, was I better then?
Then you go, you just throw in one of your old jokes and it does 10 times better. And you go, that's the worst joke ever. That guy wasn't even nearly as good at comedy. Fuck you.
I did an album review, commentary review with Rogan. I did it with a few people.
I've heard some of the ones you did. They're cool.
Yeah, I really like them. I got to do more. But like,
can you do the old album?
Because they do their first album.
Yeah.
Usually their first album. They were like a different kind of comic. And so with Rogan's, he was like, fuck, I was way more tag heavy back then. He was like, I got to get back. And then I listened to one of my old albums. And I'm like, same shit. I got to fucking punch this shit up.
You were like, oh, I was better.
Yeah, I was better in certain ways. I wasn't saying anything, but I was hitting more laughs. And I'm like, I should be able to mesh the two.
Well, that's the early good person versus the old. Because you go at first, you go, I was working harder and all that stuff, but you go, at the end of the day, like, I couldn't do those jokes that good then. You go, if I did that now, there's so how many things you have where silly. You go, I can't fucking pull that off then, and then you finally pull it off, and you're like...
Oh, right. Every time I talk about Israel and Palestine, it just came off angry.
You couldn't figure that one out?
I wasn't a good enough comic, and I was still too close to having lived there. Right. So I was like, yeah, the funny thing with Israel is, like, you know, these Palestinians are animals. They're fucking animals. They all deserve to be dead. And I was like, nah, that didn't quite come out funny. So you went on Warped Tour? You did Warped Tour?
Yeah, I did
Warped
Tour.
That's a fun one. Did you get a lot of 8-year-old pussy?
That's a perfect example is when you're the 30-year-old kicking around Warped Tour, and you go,
that's young.
Oh, shit, these people are in fucking, like, grade 10. Yeah. You go, I'm old, dude. Because we were, you know, when
and
I was
rocking along with you, but like, what, am I just an adult to you?
Yeah, I'm a grown up. Because when I was doing this shit, I was 20.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
they're 16. Like, literally, if you fucked up your life a little bit, you could have a kid a little younger than them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it gets wild. But there's not, dude, there's people that 55 that are kind of around clubs or whatever. And I go, this don't feel like this guy's too old to be here, out of place, or anything like that.
Some people keep it. Some people keep their youth somehow.
Some people,
Jeff Ross
it does.
In comedy is like, he can still do silly, fun jokes. He's like, he doesn't seem to age his act.
No, Warped Tour, I mean, those things are super cool, obviously. It's just sort of straight up being around, hanging out a bunch of your buddies. But it's very indulgent. Like, you're not getting anything done. You're just, you know, this is straight up, you're partying.
Was it just the same bands going from spot to spot to spot?
Yeah.
Wow. So you get to know everybody.
Yeah, you get to know everybody. I mean, but that's every tour, right? It's not just Warped Tour. That's like, every tour is... you know, three or four bands. Like, even our headlining tours, we bring, just like if you were going on tour and you brought two openers, each of those openers is six people.
Wow.
So every, and then we had, you know, we had a sound guy, a merch guy, we had a whole squad. We had this like 50-year-old dude that just traveled with us when we were 20, and he had a kid, and we brought the kid once, and he was just like a deadbeat. His name was Gary, and he got the band tattooed. He goes, he goes, I'm gonna have a bus, and I wanna bring a, he showed up and he's like, I'll be your bus driver. And then he showed up and he goes, listen, I don't have my full license. But, and we go, you can sell t-shirts, I guess, right? So he used to come around. I remember probably my favorite thing is
Gary's kid.
The kid, yeah. He would have, and the kid was like 16 or whatever he brings.
What
and
a
I remember,
cool job too at 16.
Wild, right? So the kid would help him basically steal money from us. And then, so he, you know, he smoked a pack a day. And then his son was, he goes, Dad, like, can I have some money for food? And he goes, we don't have any more money. And he goes, you just bought beer. And he goes, you know, beer doesn't count. He goes, you dead serious? Kid 17.
We had a rule.
You know, beer doesn't count towards the fucking money we're spending.
You're cheating.
And then one time he was sleeping and the kid goes, I was in the front seat. And I remember just hearing this and the son goes, Dad, can I have a drink? And he pauses. He goes, Dad, I need something other than beer. His dad's handing him a beer.
It's no, Thursdays. Here's a Labatt.
But yeah, so you have fucking 20 people on just a normal tour.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, everyone's making $100 a day, sleeping in vans.
It was
paid
nothing, right?
Well, this is when we're 19, though. It didn't feel like anything. But imagine doing that. I did see it. I remember being 19. I remember touring with, you know, I remember even the Mad Caddies. I remember, you know, these guys are probably maybe my age now. And they're just like, all right, let's go back to the, they're all, you know, they're just like, over this shit. Yeah. Yo, we're like, where's the party? We'll go find the bar. And they're like, I gotta call my wife. Like, fuck.
It's the best when you go to like Oklahoma City, which I love that club, Bricktown Comedy Club. But they were like, people in the audience, like, where are we partying today? I'm like, oh, this isn't a party weekend for me.
Yeah, I don't
think
I'm
partying. Get work done, get rest.
Dude, I did one recently because me and Danny were in, I think it was St. Louis. And I almost never do this, but we were just like, we can fucking rock out tonight. And this guy's like, dude, I got a plan. I'll take you out or whatever. And we go, fine. Get in this guy's car, drives us 45 minutes to this bar where apparently he knows the owner. We get there, maybe two people sitting in, like, essentially a fucking sports bar. Two people there, they're putting chairs on the table. And he goes, so they're putting chairs on the table, cleaning up. He goes, ah, shit, maybe they're not there. And he goes, all right, 1 second, let me text. He gets out of the car. We're 45 minutes from the thing. I was drinking a bit in his car. He starts texting. He goes, I think I know another place that people might be. I go, take us the fuck back to the venue.
It's these guys that want to make it your night. And
the make it happen guy. And every city has a make it happen guy.
Every city has. And it's their whole vote. Their whole what, like, I can do this for you.
Yeah.
I can get you whatever drug. I can take you to this place.
And the make it happen guy is a good, nothing wrong with make nothing it happen guy.
Your attention's great. And honestly, when you're barely new and starting and you don't have any money to even get a cab somewhere, make it happen guy was great. But now it's like, hey, I could probably just go to a bar.
Yeah, I don't think I need a chaperone.
Yeah.
The best is, though, the make it happen guy, when they come to your city and they're kind of like, yo, I'm in your town. You go, I mean, I can introduce you to the other make it happen guys. Yeah. I maybe put you in contact with a different make it happen guy. I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know if I can do for you. Yeah, it's more your domain, finding parties for people.
Did you guys fuck other musicians?
No,
there was
never.
There was no,
dude. I don't fuck musicians or comics. Like, I never.
But that's smart. But what was there fucking among the musicians?
I mean, first of all, there's two girls that are musicians.
Right. There's that. It's Warped Tour.
Yeah, like, I mean, this
what,
is
like what, who's
fucking a hundred. You know,
she fucked like lots of musicians, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Did she fuck like Jimi Hendrix? Did she fuck who's? Oh.
I mean, no. It's the same as girl comedians. Like, they mostly date girl comedians. So right. It's like, if you're a girl musician, yes, they probably mostly date. Out of the, so there's, let's say there's 100 guys.
Yeah.
There's probably three or four chicks.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
So I've been on
like,
tour.
It's not like a lot of hook. It's like, those are the ones.
Dude, I would go on tour with 20 people, you know, on regular, because, you know, three bands with their crews or whatever, 20 people per, like, squad. So, you know, you spend a month with these people, it kind of becomes like a little family or whatever, right? And then maybe once or twice there was a girl.
Wow.
Very rare.
Well, okay.
Well, I mean,
I went to
this is people, most bands is from, they're boys from high school.
Right.
Why is there a girl in your squad?
Doesn't bands at some level seem like a lame club? Like it's like, hey, let's play music. You guys, want to sing and play some music songs?
Yeah.
It seems like homos. Like straight up. Like this is the one of the gayest things you could do is sing with your buddies.
They're all the same though. Every, you know, people like to be like, oh, you know, the jocks are this. But it's like everything that's predominantly man podcasting, they're all kind of the same. It's a bunch of dudes that you leave them together. Like I'm sure the military boys, it's like at the end of the day, it's probably the, you know, be calling each other gay, fucking, yeah. You know, the same. They all end up, you know, the same sort of vibe. I mean, there's a little different culturally, but you know what I mean? It all ends up the same when you put a bunch of dudes in a fucking thing and leave them to their own devices.
They're either going to play sports. I don't know, but it seems like bands do seem tough. Like you see the Rolling Stones in their heyday. It's like, oh, they're cool. They're like rock gods. But really, it's like it just comes from being on the jungle gym playground, be like, let's play a song, you know? But Jimmy bought a guitar today, so he's going to play the guitar while we sing behind him. And this guy's going to play drums, sort of. It's like,
Yeah. No, it is one of those things you go, what is this? What are we doing?
Yeah. Did you guys have, did anybody follow you audience-wise?
Yeah,
girls
and
boys, they followed the whole Warped Tour?
I did two Warped Tours, but like more so, and we didn't do all the dates, but like, more so on our actual tours, yes.
You had people following you.
Yeah, we would have you'd have kind of your super fans. And that was, we used to say that was the thing. We go, no one fucks the super fans. That was the thing, right? Because you go, what, you can fuck her once? And then you go, now we don't have down a super fan?
Yeah, we're down a super fan. And also, it's going to be weird now for the next 10 gigs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you go, everyone fucking keep your dicks out of the super fans. But you have you know, maybe 20 of those, and a lot of them would do 4 days. Because, you know, Canada, the 401 tour, they call it, right?
What is that?
Well, that's fucking Montreal, Ottawa, Kingston, Oshawa, Toronto.
Hamilton. London.
London. There's one, Chatham, Windsor. So it's all on a straight line, and that's all the major cities in Ontario. We always call it the 401 tour. So a lot of times you do these 8-day tours, and people would, like, you know, 20 people would come to all the shows and kind of early, whatever. They come to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or whatever, you know. I think that'd be kind of a fun thing to do if you were.
It would be. I mean, I saw LCD 19. Twice on this last tour.
Yeah.
Channel 5. I just went again. They played some different songs, and it was like, they make me jump up and down.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing to do. Again? Yeah.
Also to go. My nephew just told me
you're kind of on tour.
What?
It's kind of a way to be on tour without being in the band.
Yeah, exactly. Yusuf and Rory Scovel went on tour with Tool. They just like did a show before every night Tool did.
Really?
Yeah, and they went to the Tool show the next day.
Was it a coincidence or
no? No.
They planned it that way.
They're like, let's follow tour on the road. We'll pay for it by doing a show of ourselves the night before. And then eventually the Tool found out about it, or their drummer or the bassist or something.
Yeah, and they said come through.
Yeah, I said we can introduce everybody. Like, and then they start coming to the shows. Tool started like, well, we're here a night early. Let's go to those guys' shows.
Doing the tours with the band stinks.
Have you ever done that?
I've done shows. I've never done the tours, but I've done like 15 minutes before a band. Because when I was starting doing comedy, all the bands, you know, were still like I was still in the mix, right? So everyone, you know, whatever was like, and I would be like, yeah. First of all, I wasn't that great at comedy, but the.
Not now. Where your new special, White Immigrant, is on YouTube directly right now.
They'll
Ryan Long
still
comedy.
Fucking suck.
They'll still what?
They'll still fucking stink doing the touring with a band as a comic. This is why I was thinking the difference between a professional is the only thing that separates it. When I was thinking about like the band, what made us when we were good versus when we're not good.
Yeah.
It's a tiny thing that probably the exact same as the comedian is. You know how to react to all the situations.
Oh, interesting. Like if a bottle's thrown at you?
If a bottle's throwing up, if the mic goes out. If you were on stage right now and the mic goes out, you wouldn't be like, you'd be like, oh, now we don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd do, but you'd have, it would be natural. Nothing would be awkward.
I saw this breakdown.
If your amp broke,
you would just know.
You know how to deal with all the situations.
I saw this breakdown of basketball of like, the center gets it at the high post, you know, like right on where the foul line is. Let's say the basket's here. Foul line said they get a kick out pass and there's a defender in the middle. Defender can either go towards to defend this guy up here. If that's the case, he can either drop a pass down here to his buddy or
since the defender's moving in, you just dribble forward, and then they have to like suddenly go backwards.
Okay.
And he goes, or if they don't help out, you got a nice 15-foot shot.
So you know all the options.
Right, and he goes, and the guy breaking it down goes, the basketball player thinks of none of this. It's just internal. They just know it.
But you
same
but
thing
you
when the mic goes
all,
out.
Yeah, but you
it's
don't
when
have
the mic goes
to,
out, I'm
yeah.
like, hey, what have I done? I've done this in certain situations. What do I do? It's just you know by now. It's
you just
it's
know.
In you. You just roll.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's second nature.
Yeah, second nature is a good way to
but
say it.
But there's so, yeah, there's so I feel like that's the only real way that you can always tell who's the real deal and who's not. Wait till someone goes wrong. That's why when you're on a showcase and there's lots of comedians that suck, I hope it's a bad crowd.
Right.
Because the good people would do fine. But if it's a hot crowd, sometimes you can't tell who's good and who's not.
And then they start thinking
they're
better.
If it's a bad crowd, the crappy people will bomb. That's a fact.
Yeah. What did you eat on Warped Tour? Did they
feed
you guys?
Garbage, dude.
Really?
Dude, that was the best, being fucking, you're skinny, dude, being just 19 and you could just like
eat everything.
Anything you want, and then you're playing an hour a night, which is kind of, you know, physical or whatever. I remember the first time when I was maybe probably 27 when I did my first TV show. I was just editing for 3 months straight, and I'd just been like a super skinny guy my whole life, and then I was like, oh fuck, I'm fat now. Did I get fat? And you go, oh, I can get fat now?
You see it, and you're like,
oh shit, dude.
Yeah, I was in
I didn't
college.
Know I could get fat, and I had like a skinny guy image. I was wearing tank tops and shit, and I'm like, fuck, I got fat.
I love a guy who doesn't know yet.
I didn't know.
Lev Fur the first 2 months after COVID, and he still like has the mindset. Now he's a fat guy full.
And he's wearing fucking basketball shorts everywhere.
Like, are those supposed to be skin tight? He's like, shut up. The waistline doesn't lie, bro.
Yeah, you go, oh fuck, I'm fat now.
I dried this stuff on high by accident.
Yeah, so
like, that's not it.
Well, he was, remember, I mean, we were doing stuff in COVID. He was like, you know, oh, you want to go for like a second dinner? You go, I don't know if you need fucking past at 2 a.m., dude.
He was the biggest one that everyone's like, what the fuck?
His chick was there. And we're like, how is this guy getting so fat? He goes, dude, I don't know, man. I'm not doing anything. His chick goes, he eats fried chicken every day.
Do you think it's associated with that?
Yeah. He goes, is that fat? Yeah.
Is it related?
Yeah, he goes, and I'm still fat. Can you believe? Yeah, exactly. You know?
That's a whole food chicken, right?
Yeah, dude. That was when you're 20, he was just literally showing up eating gas station fucking garbage and pizza.
So that's all. Did they feed you? Did Warped Tour feed you while you were at the?
They have no. They have like a tent that has like fucking some snacks, but it depends. It's more like band by band, and then at the end they'd have like a party that has stuff. But it would be way more you kind of buy or just you know
interesting,
or someone comes and gets food for every like your squad. But it's more every man for himself.
At Bonnaroo or Blues Fest, it was always like they have artists buffet. You
yeah,
can go eat, and it's pretty good.
No,
at
they
Oceaga,
do have.
It was the best.
Yeah. They do have areas, and then it's more like after, and then they'll have like a breakfast. It's almost, but I don't know.
But you had to fend for yourself.
It kind of is just what it is, I thought, yeah.
Were there shows every night, or was it just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
They did Warped Tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about? They would do, I think, one day off a week usually.
So like Mondays were off?
It depends on where the routing, I think.
Was Warped Tour, was it one night per tour, or was it like a full festival every...
No, it's one night.
One night, and then you move on to the next spot. Mm-hmm. So it was tons of driving.
Yeah, but I mean, not that crazy as much as, you know, and some people fly or whatever. But I mean, dude, I've done real tours where you're driving 14 hours a night. Every band, they almost like, you hear a lot of bands like almost died or whatever. That was real because you have a bunch of 19-year-olds with their, you know, driving through the night.
Snowing. I got to get there no matter what.
Dude, I remember Colorado touring through where you actually have to stop and they force you to put, you know, chains on your tires and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then tire fell off of our van, thing jackknifed. You know, our thing did like a ninja star into the thing. So we're stuck in Colorado, cancel our show, try to get a new van, leave our merch guy home. He's going to try to get this fixed. Then it can't. I would say one of my memories that I feel like you blank out when you think of touring, it's 90% van problems.
Yeah.
Dude, the amount that every band, you know, that's like every five shows, some band, you know, band like got in a car crash or whatever. It really is.
And that's
like,
the high level stuff. But low-level stuff, when you're driving yourself, you don't have a professional driver. It must be like all the time. Like, oh, we barely can get this thing working.
I guess that once you get into the bus, you kind of have a bus, like the driver.
It's
but
not going to... Dude,
most
failure.
Bands are touring van trailer.
Damn. But did you start to hate each other in the van too? Like, I assume...
Fuck,
somewhere...
yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dude, me and the other main guy that sang... Like, we all kind of got on each other's nerves, but me and the main guy that sang that was like kind of like my more like my brother, we got in fucking real fist fight. Like,
really?
Oh, You spend that much time with someone that's, and then there's on top of that, there's this weird young people jockeying for who's more, you know, the
important.
Yeah, dude.
Who's the leader of it?
Who's the leader of the whole thing? That
real.
But he was like my best friend at the time too, so we would fight more than everyone else. But people would hate each other.
Wow, they were showing a flashback in the new Jackass of just a flashback of
those
like,
guys
Jackass
must have got
one.
Into it.
Yeah, of somebody remember the shaved head thing. They go dun 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 dun, and then they take a buzzer. It's a wee man, and he fucking so mad. He came over, was like punching whoever did it. And they're like, "It's for the movie." And he's still like, "Fuck you."
Yeah,
and that's what they signed up for.
I know,
and it's still like, "Fucking asshole."
I know that feeling.
It's like, stop it.
Yeah, and then imagine like on top of that, then especially in the early days, you go, and now I got to sleep touching you.
Oh, like right next to you?
Yeah, oh my God. Now I'm sleeping. And on top of how much I now hate you and we got in this big drunken fight or whatever, now I got to sleep next to you in the van and you're snoring. You're just like, I'm going to fucking kill this guy.
Oh my God. Yeah, just, a fart comes out. You must be like, shut up.
Everything about these people just like fucking. And I was, I was probably that. I was pretty wild back then too.
Yeah, you must have been like that to them.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Like, why are you gonna be like this?
Me and him both were. I remember when we did a tour like later on, and the other guy who played guitar. He was like, you know what? This is my favorite tour because you and Jarek aren't so crazy anymore.
Oh wow, that's interesting. Once you calm down,
and I think
you're
it was
okay.
Like, and I was like, well, yeah, because this is over. Like this whole thing's over. Like none of this matters anymore. We're doing this tour, but this band, like our band's over.
Oh yeah, that's what Yusuf said too. Right, exactly. Like we're done after this. So yeah, sure. Yusuf said like a lot of those guys at Tool or whoever like brings their family. They're like, yeah, I'm on the road for 6 months. I'm not gonna leave my family.
Okay.
I'm an adult. I have children and like dogs that I want to see.
That's happened, you know, a couple times, but I felt like it was kind of cool.
It can be if you're hanging out in a place.
Well, also, if your chick's like, we should go on vacation, you go, I was thinking, and it turns out Naples, Florida, is the spot for us. We're going to do 3 days. Not going to be available at night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to figure out how to,
It'd be cool to stay in a city afterwards. Like, while I'm working, though, it's like, I can't hang out with you at night.
What's getting your girl a bowling ball for Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But you could go at afternoon. You go, the shows are done at 11. You go, hey, you come through, you get free drinks, then we'll all go to bar or whatever.
It's a someone you're just fucking is like easier to take with.
Then it's a, then
come
you're
meet,
like,
come
doing
meet
a,
me and
you're you the know. Cool guy. Yeah. That's a cool guy move.
Come meet me, we'll come. I'll get your seat. And they're like, whoa, really?
You can act like it's all cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Shafir, you go, hey, well, yeah.
Hey, can you get.
Signing autographs, yeah. Do photos, okay, you know, baby mind. Oh, shit.
That's all right. They put me on the at the Ranger game. I took, oh, shit, what is this?
Oh, no, I just
fuck didn't put this way right.
Idiot, Tony.
That is the ultimate fucking, you're right, though, because it is a, if you got, like, any sort of popularity from anything, I'm sure the same thing as if you, you know, run a hedge fund or, you know, whatever, own a company.
If everyone's
any,
like, right this way, sir. You're like, ooh.
Big, any cool guy thing, you go, one of the only benefits of that is a new girl that you're dating thinks it's cool. So the minute you've been dating someone for a while, you go, all right, well, my main benefit's useless.
They already know it.
Yeah. There is the only thing cool about someone on the street being like, oh my God, I'm a big fan, is that a chick you want to fuck sees that.
Dude, I had an acting class once and somebody said they saw me in it was in Santa Monica. Somebody's like, oh, you're a comedian? And I was like, with this super hot acting class chick. And she was just looking at it. And I was like, yeah. She goes, I saw you in Washington, D.C., which is even better, which means I go on the road.
Yeah.
And you're really funny. And I was like, oh, and I just see her. I'm like, yeah. Never fucked her, though.
Never hit it. But then, yeah, if you date that girl for 6 months and then you go, now some people come up and they're like, hey, I'm a big fan. You go,
ugh.
Okay, what does this do for me?
Yeah, the chick is like, are you
good
done
for
with,
you?
Done with this? Yeah.
You go, me and my chick are in an argument right now, and she's like, ugh, I guess you're fucking comedy people, or but your little comedy career.
How did you deal with groupies when you had to travel that night to the next gig?
Well, there's two different ones. You don't always travel the night next gig, but a big thing that bands do is you finish your show at, let's say, 10, and then you go, we'll party till fucking 1 or 2, and then drive from 2 to 6. So you, I would, I, there was
so
a,
you're like, if you're going to do it right now. We're leaving at 2.
Yeah, dude, we got a, you have a lot of these bands have beds in their fucking van, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have a, you gotta, yeah, you gotta be back by 2, like there's a van call, right? But a lot of times you would do, so I would, you would sleep from, you know, 2 to 5, get up, pack your shit into the hotel, you know, whatever, do all the stuff, maybe breakfast, then sleep again from like 6 to 7 or 8 or whatever. So you kind of sleep like 3 hours, then you sleep another 2 hours, and that's your gonna,
fuck, yeah.
And just lose your voice. I had to get surgery because of that shit.
On your voice?
Yeah.
Is that what you sound like, what's his name from Calgary?
No, I sound like this because it's fixed.
Oh. Who's the dude from Cal? I think it was Calgary.
Josh Adam Myers sounds like that.
Josh Adam Myers, yeah. Who's that old comic?
He got the surgery too.
Who got stabbed in the neck?
I know who you're talking about. He toured with Rouse and shit.
He did.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He got stabbed in the neck. What a wild story, eh?
And it wasn't even like his fight, right? Wasn't it like a...
No, he was break... So it's a comic. I wish I could remember his name, but cool dude. And he got... He was breaking up a fight.
Yeah.
On like a bus or something. Things. Yeah. He got stabbed in the neck and... Yeah, his voice is all messed up. This is a wild story.
Whoa. Can you imagine? You're like, guys, come on. You're like, why am I bleeding? I'm not even in the fight.
Dude, the moral of the story is never help anyone ever.
Did you see that Asian guy giving a coat to a black homeless dude?
Yeah.
And then the guy just punches him and like starts like...
Yeah.
And then he has to like come take his wallet back or whatever. And then Adams, whatever, the mayor is like, please still help people. Don't not help humans. Just because this one guy, he's mentally insane. And he's like, it's a sign we need more help. But imagine like, I'm going to give the shoes to a homeless guy.
I know.
And now you're getting punched and you're like.
And you're trying to get karma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, yeah. The New York thing is, I mean, it is what everyone says where the first you move here and you're like, oh man, well, yeah. And then within 6 months, you're like, get the fuck out of my
house. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You just get jaded.
There's people on the subway. I literally was like, tried to put myself in a positive tourist mindset when I moved here where I go, try to accept that this is cool. So I would kind of be on the subway and be like, oh, this is kind of sick. Like these fucking guys dance on the subway or whatever.
Like a lady got her poop wiped on her face. Okay, cool.
And then within seconds, you're just like, I got to fucking move so this guy can do a backflip on the subway.
Oh, right.
You go, ugh.
You ever seen a stand to the ground move with those? So they have these subway dancers who put their feet up. It's kind of wild. Put their feet up on the things and like upside down. And they just do crazy, you know,
and they're like
dance.
Kids.
Yeah. And right. At first it was like, oh, cool. And performer.
Yeah.
But I've seen a guy stand his ground. They're like, excuse me, sir. Watch out because we're going to do this. And he's like, no. And then they were like spinning on the pole and they just kept bumping him with their like, can you just move over there? And he goes, no. And then they're like, ugh, come on, dude. Just move over there so we can do this dance and make our dollars.
Dance.
And he just like stood his ground. He's like, no. And then they just
What does this guy look like?
40-year-old white dude.
40-year-old like finance white guy?
No. Upper management.
Interesting guy to hold your ground
on
that.
Yeah, and he goes, no. And it was just like he made a decision.
I would have expected like a hood guy that's
right,
like,
No.
Just a normal fucking
clean cut guy. And once he made the decision, like, I'm going to hold my ground, he couldn't go, actually, what am I doing? You guys go ahead and do it. He couldn't do it because then he's admitting defeat. The next subway stop, he just got off, which definitely was not his stop. And that's his way of going, saving face, like, I'll just catch the next train.
Yeah. Which is better than moving.
Yeah. They just kept spinning and hitting him on their spins. It was like, can you see how this would be better if you weren't here, man?
You know what that dude's thing is? That's a dude who's been getting bitched around by his boss, his wife, and he goes,
no.
This is, yeah, I put my foot down here.
Yeah.
The hat guy's the best, though. Have you seen the hat guy?
What's the hat guy? Spins the hat?
They just spins the hat, yeah. But it's complete, it's the worst ever.
They're just starting. The guys are just starting like, oh.
I've seen 4 or 5 and none of them been good. So he puts that, he throws the hat, catches on his head, takes it back off, throws it, catches on his foot, throws it. And you go, it's real crap.
Right. It's like cool, sort of.
Yeah,
like,
you go.
If at a party,
but
if
it also
like,
doesn't
this, be okay.
Look good because the hat kind of doesn't, it's no finesse. It looks terrible. It
doesn't spin 3 times. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you go, this is the younger brother of the guy that can do backflips.
Yeah. Like if we were at the stand, you're like, I bet I can knock my hat off my head and catch my foot. I'm like $2 if you do. I'm like, oh, that's a good job. But not like, give me money, everyone. Look at my talent.
This is sick, right? Like, yeah. Because his attitude is like, I bet you've never seen that before. And you're like, I guess. Those guys stink.
They do really stink. Hey, one more time, guys. Ryan Long has a new comedy special out right now. at Ryan Long Comedy on YouTube. It's called White Immigrant. Go check it out. He's a fucking hilarious comedian. And this is the whole reason we're doing this podcast, finally, is to promote a special.
Dude, there was a lot of people like this in America, but you're one of the most helpful to people. Even when I moved here, you're just like...
Oh, yeah. Well, we're on the same boat.
Most people don't think that. You seem to... Like, it's embedded in your fucking DNA that you do, like, fucking have a, like, or some sort of, like, you want to help comedians.
Yeah.
But
I side on the side of comics.
Yeah, but yeah. That's not how most people kind of operate.
I guess not. It's too lame. But like when I started this podcast, Mark Maron pulled me aside and was like, when podcasts weren't around much, but he was started, and he was like, let me show you what equipment to buy and how to do it. And he was like, you got to get the Mogami cords. The other cords will fuck up. I've lost. And he was like, you got to get the Zoom. So where do I get it? He goes, come on, let's go on Amazon right now. We'll get it.
Yeah.
He didn't pay for it, but like he showed me what to get and how. That kind of shit. It's like there's been people that have been helpful. Ralphie May give me a giant nug. He's like, go ahead, play. That's you need that.
Yeah.
Rogan being all kind, all constantly. It's just like, well, I don't know, you pay it forward.
All of the people that...
Marissa, cut out him being nice to me.
Most of the people that I thought were like really funny when I moved to New York were usually the nicer ones. Like the people that are doing good. Yeah. It was
yeah, because if you're doing good, what's the fight? There's no fight because you're like, I'm already fine.
Or the other way around.
What?
You know, you could look at it both ways. You could say, oh, the people that are doing good are nicer, but you could also look at it that like whatever it is on them that like made them fucking giving and stuff is one of the qualities that the reason they're doing good as well. Like that's
That
the type of personality that fucking
would succeed.
Yeah, because they don't if you actually care about like if you're thinking about stand up or anything like that, if you really care about the thing and you're on your I'm gonna work this much, you're not looking at like, well, I can't let the guy have it.
So L.A. is different because New York, and there's outliers, old Comedy Store is more like New York than the new Comedy Store, but like we're like barely getting up. So I always associate myself as a door guy at the store, right? Because it's like-
You still have that.
Yeah, I still have it in me. That's why I picture myself. So it's always like, hey, I just got this. Let me show you how to use this equipment. Or are you garbage guys? Go, let me show you
perfect example.
Everyone's been kind. L.A.'s all image based, so they're embarrassed about who they used to be. And they're like, no, I'm this guy now. And I'm only going to hang around with celebrities. And it was like, hey, remember like 2 years ago, we said, let's help each other. Like, hey, man, I don't know if I have time for you now.
I can't be seen with
you. I'm getting
almost.
The guy from Grey's Anatomy on my podcast tomorrow. And it's like, what? They're
I don't
not
want
funny.
To know that I'm no people
yeah, exactly.
like you. I was never not this.
Yeah, right. That my past did not exist. It's all image based. That's why they fucking suck. And New York's a way better scene.
Yeah, yeah. And no, I mean, it's a way better scene for straight up talent and for people,
Yeah. LA comics will put their celebrity friends on them on their podcasts. But New York comics is like, are you funny? I'd love to have you on.
I don't even think it's like a hot take anymore that you it's go, not. LA stinks. Like, it's almost everyone's just like, yeah, that's fucking like, not only does LA stink, but you go, the comedy's worse. It's just like, and people that, just comedy fans know.
Especially, it was always a little bit worse than New York, but there were still plenty of great comics because you'd have some New York comics get super high and then move there. So Bill Burr wasn't a born and bred LA comic. Neither was Rogan, but now they are those.
Yeah, they're there.
So you're like watching them. You learn the young comics will learn from this great comic. But so it was slightly worse, but still like negligible. And then once they all got successful, they got way worse.
Yeah,
they were all in on success of stuff, and they stopped caring about even then what they little used to care about stand up.
The tiny bit.
Yeah, it was way less. They care more about fame now than
you
talent.
Have a little bit of West Coast in you though. Like you do the yoga and stuff. Like I know it's whatever, but like that is straight up. Like, dude, that's New York kind of even where I'm from is more like that attitude is like you go you're too cool like cool for that stuff or whatever.
Right.
Like that's more like you have a LA. I don't know what the exact words is, but like in touchness or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe it's just drugs.
Oh,
the yoga I do is
thing,
also a
yeah.
joke. I'm not doing legitimate yoga.
You're right. It's not an LA thing, but drugs is sort of an LA thing, I
guess.
Yeah,
it is. You're right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe. The
you also lived
drugs.
There forever.
I'm an LA comic.
But you're...
I'm born and bred LA comic.
You started there.
So I am an LA comic living in New York.
Gotcha.
But I fit here because of this, and because of like...
Yeah, your sense, but you're not from here even.
No.
I thought you lived here before and came back. So
for a year in school.
When you came back here, like, what was it, 3-4 years ago?
12.
Okay, never mind.
Years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
And so you started in LA for like
10 or 12 years.
And then you moved here, so you've just been here, and you, so you did the reverse.
Now it's like 50-50. Yeah, I did the reverse.
But that's a reverse.
I did the reverse. Because also it was like, hey, as I'm starting to headline, I'm getting more and more of my income off headlining road stuff, you know, for $1,000, $1,500, whatever.
You've been there for a while.
Yeah, but yeah. I was doing it, and then commercials would always have callbacks on Friday. I'm like, can't do it. My agent would start getting mad at me. He's like, dude, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know, I'm in Kansas City. I got a booking.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you miss it? I'm like, no, I can't miss Friday.
I'm doing comedy.
It's a big night. Yeah, and they're coming to see me. Like, some people are coming to see me. It's really cool.
Yeah, I got a whole thing going on over here.
So as a higher percentage of my income was on stand-up, then I was like, why am I in L.A.? I should be in New York. You know, first of all, there's 3 airports here. Just, like, realistically, it's easier to get places.
Yeah.
And two, it's like, I want to do stand-up, like, 3 times a night.
Yeah.
It's not an L.A. thing. I'm only a stand-up. I can make my living off this.
How much of a relief was it when you came here and you're just like, I could do fucking as much stand-up as I want?
It was great. It was too much in the beginning. I was like, oh, I can't do
that. Like,
I'm doing
do
like
this?
10, 11 sets. I'm like, this is too much.
10, 11?
Yeah, in a week.
And, in a week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it became like 20 is fine. Just you got to get your, you know, stamina.
I just do my way that I had to make it work with the only way to sort of do all the stuff that I'm doing is I said, I do stand up Thursday to Sunday and I don't do stand up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's cool. I'll usually take off like a weekend, one weekend night and like maybe
you'll do
one
it that
other
way,
night.
Yeah.
Just because like, especially now since you're getting so many spots. Like, I was getting 5 to 8 in L.A., and that was high-end.
A week.
High-end. Yeah. That was people like, wow.
That's nuts.
A couple people got more, but, like, I was top 3 or 4 percentile. And then, you can get double that here in 4 nights.
Yeah.
So then it's like, why don't you have a night off and still double your output, and but also, like, go to the movies, have something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, do something. Hang out at a barbecue with your neighbor. Have bits coming.
Yeah, doing stuff helps.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, LA people did jokes about stand-up because that was your whole life in the open mic scene, you know?
And, yeah, they don't do, like, stand-up enough to fucking, be able to craft a bit about anything else.
Right.
But you're right. Everyone, coffee their shops, context
airplanes
is...
and stand-up.
Yeah, so their whole context is entertainment.
Yeah.
Dude, I always find that funny whenever you go to LA and you hear them talking about, like, agents and stuff and you're just like...
This won't fly anywhere.
Yo, you guys are living in a crazy world where you don't have a joke about agents.
What a bubble. And it'll work there, so they think it's good, but you get to like fucking anywhere. You get to Nashville. Even there, they have agents there.
Yeah.
And people are like, I don't really know. Is that a normal trait of them?
They're doing jokes about like, you guys, everyone's been there where their manager won't call them. It's the kind of, that's how much of an industry town
it
is.
Big J calls it LA hack. So any bit is about Armenians.
They do a lot of Armenian
Yeah, and
stuff.
It's like no one even knows what that is anywhere else.
Right.
It's a major thing in LA. It's not anywhere else. So Armenians, agents, you know, Beverly Hills. It's the same thing as like doing a specific, like, oh, don't go to Third Avenue. And everyone's like, oh, that's where. And it's like, what is that? It's like either rich people or gays or Chinese. Yeah, it's something, you know. But like, I don't know because I'm not from here. It's local hack. LA has local hack.
You know, my favorite like local hack story was, there's a buddy of mine, but there's this comic that was like a touring guy and he comes through, he goes, yo, what's this strip club called around here?
That's a lot, because I have, what's this local supermarket?
Yeah. Yeah, and he goes, and then we go to the Palace or whatever, right? And then he goes on stage and he's like, you know, I was talking to this girl, I guess she worked at the Palace. And then no one laughed and he looks over and he goes, what the hell? Like, we fucked him.
It's also like, think about here in New York. If I make a strip club reference, most people don't go to strip clubs.
No,
in the
that
audience.
Common. I don't know.
So it's like, I don't know the names of the strip club. What are you talking about? Yeah. You touring comic. Of course you go to them. That's not the normal person experience.
No.
They know what strip clubs are, but they don't know the specific names of them.
No, that is very specific to. I had probably 4 of those things or whatever when I moved here to America.
I mean, Canada, America is a big change.
Things
you don't notice.
There was it was random ones, mm-hmm, where you would just be talking and you go, they go, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
This whole territory is out of
whack from the rest of the union, eh? And people are like, I think I know what you're trying to say. Like,
you know when you're humping the moose and they go, what? They go, that's just me and Tom Green.
Oh, I'm getting arrested. I have to go see the barrister and hope he gives me just a little bit.
No, all the biggest thing that I noticed racially was there's way more Asian people here.
Here.
Yeah, and obviously Latinos, Vancouver, or whatever, and we don't have any of that. But there's a lot in Vancouver. But where I'm from, there's way more Indian dudes. So I...
Right.
I've, That's like a big, like it would be very common to do a club show where you go, it's like three just like huge groups of fucking Indian dude. Like it was just right, like yeah, Indian right. bros, as if you did like a
third
frat.
Generations. Like they're just like
second
just
mostly.
Canadian. Okay.
Second mostly.
That's cool in the UK too. Their immigrants are not Mexican at all.
No.
Their immigrants are Arabish, whatever, yeah. you know, and then a little bit Indian.
Yeah, people always kind of say that the UK, their racial stuff's like completely different.
It's different because blacks are really not at all like they are here. They're really integrated.
Well, if you see like a New York has a bit of this. Like you'll see like a Queens. There's a few comics. They're like Queens, sort of like talk pretty hood guys, and you go, that guy in the like hood like Latino dudes. Are way more of the same type of person than this guy and, you know, any other white dude, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think they have a lot of that where it really is their, you know, whatever, then, class
then,
versus yeah. race.
And then also if you say Asian in England, it means Indian and Pakistani.
Right.
They...
I know. I that's know one that I had to change.
So like
a
bad
bit.
Drivers, and they're like, are they a bad driver?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, Asians. And like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. They go,
I've never known them to be bad drivers.
Gurpreet is bad. I don't know. I didn't see that. and then on top of that, we have the biggest difference from America from almost probably every other country is like the black people in Canada are also immigrants.
Oh, really?
Well,
like
yeah.
Nigerian and shit.
Yeah, or fucking Jamaica, a lot of Jamaica, Trinidad, like, you know, wherever else, right? Like, the black people that live in America, like, their grandparents lived in America.
Right.
Like, that's not, so, it's really not the same thing. Like, they weren't, like, most of my friends that are, you know, who I grew up with, like, they don't have ancestors that were slaves. Like, they have an ancestor that, like, moved to Canada.
Wow, what a different experience.
Well, so it's very different.
My friend Ariel John talks about this.
I mean, you have some here, like some people here.
Some,
but
that's not the base. That's not the middle of the
most
line.
Of them, they're like, their grandfather was here and fucking lived through fucking segregate, whatever, right?
Ariel John said Mark Maron, he's an Icelandic comedian. And he said Maron was like, are there indigenous people? He's like, no, we didn't have any. Like, we didn't wipe anybody out. It was just animals here when the Norsemen came here.
Where?
Iceland.
Oh, they.
Yeah, it's like there were no indigenous, so we had no history of smallpox.
Well, that's blankets. No fun.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What's the point, even?
Yeah, it's just like a guilt-free society. Like you didn't do this off the backs of anything except the deer.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole. I mean, that's the whole. Probably so. The way that your racial stuff that in Canada, that's the indigenous thing is probably the top issue.
Way bigger. Yeah, we're getting fights in Edmonton.
As far as politics goes,
people are like, ooh, I'm like, fuck off. You don't think I've read your fucking history with indigenous people? And they're like, fair enough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, we just picked on different people.
100%. Yeah,
relax.
No, that was the one that's the big political topic. Whereas here,
indigenous
that's like,
rights.
I don't know, there just isn't that many of them here.
Because you guys fucked up. You didn't wipe them out like we did. There's only like 40 indigenous left
that's
here.
That's the oldest thing they say, right? They go, if you're going to fucking, you know.
Do it.
Yeah,
finish the job. All we have is like a 1/32nd native.
Well, if you're gonna steal the guy's girl, you gotta kill the guy's kids, and you gotta kill the kids with the previous wife.
You gotta
too,
go
right?
Pol Pot. You gotta go full Pol Pot.
You can have them fucking bopping around.
Yeah, actually, let me see this. This is what fucking Steve Torelli made for me. Maybe my new tour. It's with Pol Pot. It's me as one of the fucking Khmer Rouge beating a baby against a tree. Isn't that nice? It's probably I gotta take this off already.
Yeah,
it's called the Wrong Side of History tour.
Yours is? That's cool.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought that was one of the best promotions that anyone did where you got everyone to make a new flyer every day.
I keep changing it.
The new flyer every day was pretty sweet.
It was great except for Instagram going, this is too far. I'm like, too far?
What'd they take a lot of them down?
Took a lot of them down and then eventually deleted my account and to get it back. But
you had to get it back like through connections?
Yeah, just because I have Jews. Yeah. But people who don't have Jews would never get it back.
No one a guy rules, though, right?
No one a guy rules. Yeah, two different no guys to know.
I could never go back to not knowing a guy in those sort of situations.
Yeah, a normal person would just be like, start a new account. Yeah, what did I have just though? So I've been crazy for longer than this. I forget what it was. It was just a picture of me dating Kim Kardashian. Yeah, the crazy to crazy tour, something like that. Yeah, they're great. I'm going to start doing them again, actually. But a lot of them were just like hate. If you mention Hitler at all, they just go hate speech.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's the most one I'm scared of is even on my new special. There was so I always do more race stuff depending on who's there, like about them, like the most. But so I usually, even on my special, race stuff's the one thing that I I can't just be like, this is what I do. Like, I'll have like, let's say I have five jokes. I go, I'm very much like, depends on who's there. Cause I'm so, I did a lot of Jewish stuff, but that's the one I'm most worried about because their lobby's like the strongest, like the ADL and stuff like that.
It's weird because we're like, the last one to do victim shaming, to victim bragging, whatever it's called. You know, where you're like, oh, I was hurt by this. We were the last ones in on that. I mean, the first ones, but then we stopped.
Yeah.
You know? But then we actually were victimized.
Right, of course.
And then we just haven't been complaining about like, you know, it's hard to be, because we've recovered hella. You know, we're CEOs, we're Nobel Prize winners.
It's
and now they're starting again. It's like, I'm scared to be Jewish because of these hate crimes. It's like, ugh, guys, stop it. We're fine.
Well, I went to like out to Brooklyn and there's the signs all over that's like, you know, when you stop Jewish hate and all that sort of stuff. And I go, I always think that there was, you know, I always say that hating Jews is like the social justice for like the alt-right. Like if you know any like person that's like, you know, I hate fucking white people, they're the worst, like that's their whole thing, that like white people are the bad, right?
Right.
They're better. Like, actually, there's one above.
Yeah, it depends. You're like, either Jews are more victim-y or they're running shit worse. It's either up or below.
You can go worse depending on how you look.
That's my favorite thing about that woke versus racist.
The Jewish one, yeah.
I mean, personally, because I just aligned with it.
Yeah.
It was like, well, I'm not sure Jews are actual whites. Like, yeah, I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah, for them, they're like, yeah, these people aren't fucking white. And then these people, they're like, well, they're actually don't count in this thing. And they go, well, that's why the Whoopi Goldberg thing was like interesting, because when she said basically that, you know, Jewish people are just white or whatever, right? And then everyone got mad at her and you go, but you do think that. You go, so is Ari a white man? And they go, so is he have some different status?
Right, or
is
he a diverse? Not white? Am I
are you
not
diversity
white?
Hire? Because they're like, you can't say Ari's just a white man. They go, but you do think that though.
You know, the reality is in Jewish theory.
Yeah.
This is studied. Whether or not we're a race or religion, for hundreds of years has been argued.
Of course.
Among Jewish.
Well, it's the like, only one that really operates like
yeah,
that, right?
Right, it's the only one. For sure. So it's like for her to say they're white, she's not wrong. That's one of
the obviously
okay
we all know what
stances.
She means, yeah.
But you know what they put on her? This is what they do with like call out culture or trouble culture. They put on her, you're happy about the Holocaust.
Yeah, of
when
course.
The reality is she's saying it was terrible.
She was indifferent.
The reason was different than the reason you think it was, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
The reason it happened, I say it was because religion. You say it's because of race, but she's not wrong.
Well, and a part of her was like, well, why are we allowed to like use this in the context of race because it was something else or whatever? Like, that's being, if you want to be like, you know, not generous to her, but
yeah,
either way,
it's like she wants the black thing to have be her own thing. She doesn't want us to also say, well, our race was also hurt.
Yeah, she's like, she doesn't want you to get shit. It on it.
Yeah, but she's not saying the Holocaust was good,
but
the gays that were killed in the Holocaust, is that based on race?
Right, yeah, of
like,
course,
no, obviously, no. So, like, She's not wrong or right. It's a definite theory what she's saying.
But the people that said she's wrong, I'm like, but you do think that.
Yeah, you do think. right.
Like, I know you're getting mad at her for saying that, but you do think that. Like, you and, you know, Danny and fucking Jay Ogerson, and you go, oh, well, he's not a white guy, he's Jewish. It's like, is that okay to the people that were getting mad at Whoopi Goldberg? He's like, no, you do think he's just a white guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So bizarre.
These kids couldn't wrap their heads around any of it. They're like, this is wrong. But it's like, why though? And you're like,
well, yeah, because all of it kind of doesn't make a whole, there's a lot of these, but it is true when you go, if we are, you know, saying
yeah, you don't
that,
think
hey,
I'm not white.
This percentage of, you know, like if they go white men are 80% of CEOs and you go, that's bad. That one race is, and if you go, okay, well, actually it's Jewish men are 80% of CEOs and you go,
yeah, just leave that part out.
Yeah, and you go, all right, well.
So then you are saying it's white
men. We go, the real answer is like, yeah, it's probably bad to like demonize any race or whatever, but it's like, what they want to do is like, well, we have a reason we want to do this one, I guess.
And it's also when they go like, well, also, you know, there were black Jews that also died in the Holocaust. You're like, yeah, like 30 of them. Like,
right.
Like, what are you talking about? Which black Jews died in the Holocaust?
I know a girl
it's Eastern
black
European.
Jew. Yeah.
Yeah, but. How far back does she go? Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, you guys, you know what it was about.
Yeah.
It was about the religion part.
I really do agree that like Jewish are the probably the funniest.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know that was hard for you.
Yeah, no, like, I don't think that's even like debatable. My dad went to Jewish high school, and like all his friends are Jewish, and he grew up in like a Jewish area, and I don't know. But it really is like when I moved here, I didn't know as many Jews, just like a few. But in New York, it's all
New York, Jew York.
Yeah, it is Jewish funny, black funny. Like there were certain, and I was, you know how I say they take the energy from the young people and the craft from the older people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I try to do that with like cultures as well, comedically.
Take the energy from certain cultures.
Yeah, where I take the black comedy. I like that they're unapologetic.
Oh yeah.
Like I like the idea of not. Which suits my personality to not put myself below the audience, which, I mean, a lot of people will say that that's what you do, put yourself below the audience, and I don't. I don't think that you do, but...
Take yourself below the audience. Okay.
Okay, so the black...
Black people put themselves way above the audience.
They say, I'm the fucking man.
Uh-huh, they had the nice suit, the nice, like, big purple
Whereas
suit.
Whereas your classic white bearded guy is like, I'm a loser. Schlub. I'm a schlub. Yeah, you guys exactly. are actually better than me, right?
Yeah, so self-deprecation is not part of
Yeah, and there's a way to fucking do that. And then the Jewish, if you add the Jewish thing to that, you go, I'm better than you guys, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you're like, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm better than you guys. I mean, who cares? Like, but yeah. the black one's more like, I'm the fucking man and it's pretty sick. And the Jewish, and then you add the Jewish, like, yeah, but who fucking, none of this matters.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's kind of where
I mean, it's right. If the black rappers and stuff, like, you know, I've got mansions and Bentleys or whatever. And the Jew's like, I have that too, but don't tell the tax guy about that.
Yeah.
Keep that to yourself. It's untoward. Brag about your wealth.
Are you crazy?
Just have it. Yeah. Build a hedge.
Yeah, that's very
so
true.
So then we can see it.
Yeah, you're bragging about all your money and you go, yeah, you fucking, you're trying to get the IRS on your dick right now, dude?
Yeah, the Jew's like, I make $100 a year. It's like, how do you drive all this? Like, yeah. Donations.
So yeah, they're trying to be like a weird mix of those Jewish versions. That's why I think the way to do that in like sketch, which I always say is you go, you don't, and that is probably like the Al Bundy form is you go, you always make the guy better, but he loses.
Oh, right.
Whereas I think the like Judd Apatow format is you're like, he's a loser that's worse for you, but like things kind of work out for him. Or in some way where you go, they make the loser win, whereas yeah. I make the fucking guy that's sick, but like structurally he loses. So he never has to give up his hand.
Right.
So structurally it didn't work out
for
him.
What do you mean structurally it didn't work out?
Well, let's say he got fired from his job or, you know, the girl leaves him for this or in Al Bundy's thing at the end of every episode, he loses. But he always gets to maintain that I'm the fucking, yeah, but I'm better than you guys.
Right.
But at the end, he'll spend an entire episode trying to, you know, get this thing. And at the end of it, someone just sits and cracks it.
Like,
right. It's always, you feel bad for him, but not because he's a loser. You feel bad for him because of the bad things that are happening to him.
Right.
So you go, like, bad things are happening to this guy. So you feel bad for him, but you don't feel bad for him because of who he is.
Right. That's a bit of a shame.
The Judd Apatow formula is you feel bad for them because of who he is. You go, this guy's a loser, but then you want him to win.
Right. 40-year-old virgin, you're like, I hope this works out for
that's
you.
That's the, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. That's
40-year-old virgin was the last one that I saw of his movies that was like, had some level of like reality humor where everyone's like, abortion though? Are you going to do an abortion? Like you would have a friend saying, kill this?
Right.
Like it's just some chick you had a one-night stand with. Definitely, because yeah, without that, you'd be like, this is completely unrealistic. Of course.
They at least acknowledge.
Of course.
You know, we could kind of
yeah,
solve
Schmortion
this.
Or whatever. It's like, dude, yeah, you would have a friend. Like, get rid of this, though.
So if we can wrap this whole puppy up in credits.
Yeah. I did that with Luis Gomez and his now 10-year-old
so
son.
So funny to know now.
I mean, just for months and months. I'm like, dude, get rid of it. And then finally, he was like, it's too late now. I'm like, not in Mexico. Get rid of it.
I know a dude that got a girl pregnant on tour and, like, flew. Out there to fucking tell her like we gotta
get rid of it. Yeah, you got it's all hands on deck. You gotta take care of this. You gotta spend some money to make some money.
Dude, you're on the move.
Yeah, you can't afford a flight. Like you better
canceling whatever I got. You're on the flight and you go, listen, you know for sure I'm gonna marry you, but let's not start it out this way.
That's right. You got the first time I got a girl pregnant, it was like do I play it like I'm an asshole, like I'd be a bad dad, but I don't want you having this kid to spite me.
You, that's a tough
I played it like I'll be there for you, I really definitely don't want this, but like what do you need from me? She eventually did it, but man, that month was scary.
That's a rough play.
Yeah.
I think would you at this point in my life, if I was like, you know, single and out there and had that situation, I think I would straight up try to go basketball, buy them out. I go, how okay, much? Like all everything's done. I go, $20,000.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I wire into your account.
I'll take you to the thing. Make sure you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can make a locket of their brain or some shit. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever the fuck you want for your emotions.
What's that, a locket of the brain? Oh, they died? Yeah, in my hand, but.
Yeah, that little baby finger. So cute. Make it four of them on a necklace. Shit. With that little unmake nails.
Yeah, dude. But no, they. That era of the Seth Rogen was like. The era of let's
funny.
It was
Here's
funny.
Why you're gay.
Yeah, but they really turned into it was let's lean more on the same way that now a lot of people lean more on for politics than humor. They milked dry the like we can get juice out of just emotion.
Oh yeah. Yeah, 40-year-old virgin and oh that one, the knocked up. It was 40-year-old virgin was hella emotional.
Yeah, they were the era that
it was funny throughout, but the end was not gonna be this great. Elf did a good job of that too. The end was serious, you're gonna cry.
And no one was doing, you know, there wasn't a lot of that happening at the time.
Like you're saying, no one was doing it, so it seemed okay. And now everybody's like, oh, here we go with the emotional stuff. If you watch it, you ever watch Money Heist, that Spanish show?
No.
It's a great show. It's about a money heist. No spoilers beyond that. But whenever the piano starts and they go, my mom died today. 2 years ago, this is the anniversary. As soon as you hear piano, it's like fast forward 15, fast forward till the scene ends. Start with the next part, which is going to be heist. I don't care about your fucking melodrama in the fucking heist. That,
I watch the cop shows is mostly what I watch, right?
Oh, like NCIS, they always have melodrama.
Well, the only reason I watch them is because it's one of the only shows that you can watch one, right? Because I don't want...
Oh, right, they're one up, right.
Yeah, like I don't like to, you know, it's very tough for me to fucking turn... I like to finish what I start. Yeah, but I ran out of all of them, so I watched Blue Bloods, which is the only show on the air that's changed nothing.
Oh, really? They're still crooked cops?
They're still crooked cops, but it's very like, and this is why being a police officer is the greatest, you know, thing in the way. They, and it's, so every time they have like essentially, you know, there'll be an activist that's trying to take down the cops. This is like peak George Floyd, and there'll be an activist being like, these cops are bad. And then like three times in a row, it turns out the activist is embezzling money and he's actually crooked. And he goes, and like, they'll like arrest a guy. And this is my favorite one. They like arrest like a black guy that no evidence or whatever. And then they're, you know, the goody two shoes is kind of like, are we the bad guys? He's being introspective. And then they look into it. And in fact, he was more guilty. Like the lesson.
But it's like they got lucky that he was more guilty.
No, the lesson was trust your cop instincts.
Oh, trust cop instincts. That was the best. I remember when Chicago PD came out, or I think it was Chicago PD, and there was bus ads that are like, these cops don't play by the rules. And it was like 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago.
Maybe they should start.
BLM won, and everyone's like, yeah, actually, we want you to play by the rules. We actually want an accounting of what you're actually doing.
The one, in this one, the guy gets caught saying that he's giving, remember the good old, like they're reminiscing about when we used to get.
You're the fuck a hooker and let her out.
Yeah. And then we used to give them wood shampoos. That's what he calls it.
What is that?
When you hit them, everyone in the head with a club. You used to shove everyone wood shampoos. And in that same episode, they fucking were like flabbergasted at why people don't like them. Like, maybe the wood shampoos.
These bitches don't trust the cops in this neighborhood.
Don't you know we're trying to keep this safe? And it's like, you were bragging last scene about the wood shampoos.
Hitting someone hard with a weapon.
That show's so funny. But they, every episode they do, the music comes on and they always have this big moment. And then, they always learn. So, you know, it's one of the last shows.
I hate it.
No, I don't like that shit either. But
you're right. You can watch one
episode's one
it.
And done.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it's like, I'd rather kind of watch something that's crappy you can kind of make fun of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Because you're like, oh my God. I watch old, like, Sex and the Cities and stuff. I'm like, this is so lame. And every girl I watch with is like, shut up. You're ruining it for me. I'm like, ugh, the dialogue is so fake.
Your chick's not going to get mad if you're making fun of the cop show.
Right. Yeah, sometimes I'll watch a movie and who is recommended by, like, a boyfriend's friend or something like that. And then they'll go, like, oh, I didn't like it. It was like, did you watch with Ari? That's the problem.
Stop.
He was shitting on everything, probably. It's like, fair enough.
You're a notorious movie ruiner.
Yeah, I'm just like, that would never happen. Like, let me suspend my disbelief. Yeah. Shut up.
But that's half the reason to watch something is making fun of it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don Barris used to have this thing. He goes, the first time you fall in love, your arms are open like this wide.
Yeah.
Heart is open this wide, as far as your arms can go. And then you get burned horribly.
Yeah.
That's love. And then the next time you enter in love, your arms are open about, your heart is open about this much. And the next one is like that. And a lot, by the end, you're like,
sure, let's do this.
I have
like, feel like that, where you just, even with the last breakup before I moved here, you're just like, during the thing, it was very, and I was kind of like in my head, like.
You moved here for a breakup?
No. I moved here because I moved here, but I had to break up with someone.
To do it.
Yeah, to do it. But it was, it was a kind of a messy thing. And in my head, I was like, kind of during the whole process being like, okay, let's go through these motions and pretend. Like, I was pretty, didn't care. But I'll never care the first few times. It's almost like embarrassing to look back and be like, fuck, I cared so much.
It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing to wait outside their window.
Whatever nonsense.
Wait across the street seeing a guy comes over. Like, who's parked in the parking lot? Waiting all night to see whose car that is.
Sneaking into her house, hiding in the closet for weeks on end.
Which... I get it. Masturbating. How many times can you masturbate in the closet before to develop a fetish?
I look back feeling like I was such a bitch.
Oh my God, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. There's sometimes fighting for love, if you don't get it, is.
Yeah, fighting for love's so corny.
Yeah, like, I want to work it out. And then they're like, yeah, I said no. Can you ignore, can you forget that I said that then?
Can we backtrack? I don't even want it, actually.
Dude, Beck had a whole album.
I was
album.
Testing you.
Beck had a whole album about dating Winona Ryder, Sea Change. And one of the songs was like, everybody here knows you, meaning like you fucked everyone in Hollywood, or like 8 or 10 guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to run into at least someone who knew your ex-boyfriend at least every week.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's not fun.
No, you want out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that one thing is that's another getting older thing. And it's like, if you're dating people a little, and if naturally, if you're fucking dating and you're whatever, like late 30s, 40, you're probably going to date a chick that's a little more, especially younger, especially if you're in entertainment. There is something about, like, if you're dating a girl and the guy is like 8, 9 years older than you, it just feels like, oh, that guy, whatever. Like, it really doesn't, I feel like where it's a guy that, kind of your age, maybe same thing, that really does get into your head. But a guy that, you go, it's like some kid, you dated some kid, like, I don't fucking.
That's fun, whatever. I know you're not a virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point, at first too, it's like, if I'm dating your ex, Carolla said this a long time ago on Loveline. He was, at first you're like, I can't believe I'm fucking right. I was going to take that off for you, thanks. I saw it. It was starting to bother me. At some point, you're like, I'm fucking Ryan's girlfriend. You know, even after you broke up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after like 6 months or a year, you're like, Ryan fucked my girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it completely swaps.
Yeah.
I guess once you get feelings. Damn. Was there a lot of that in music? Everybody fucking the same people? Because at Skankfest, I see it sometimes. I see the same 8 guys go for the one pretty girl.
Music, there was very much like, there was always like a ton of girls that were like kind of around that would date people. And I think the smart dudes, you go, yeah, you're kind of dating this chick, whatever. And then there'd always be, one or two guys, the bass player no one cares about, that's like, now it's his girlfriend. That is funny when you look back and you'd be like, remember that girl that everyone was, and you go, yeah, he's marrying her. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. So that's kind of tough when that happens, but more so, There was this guy who was in like a pretty famous band in Canada that we were enemies, because I was dating this girl and she was kind of like a band,
Stars? Was it Stars?
Stars?
The band Stars?
No.
That's my only guess. That's as far as I'll go. Yeah.
Pretty popular Canadian band. And I dated this girl for a bit, but like kind of whatever. They were like around. And then it was his girlfriend. And then so we were like arch enemies or whatever, right? And then one time at a party, me and him like... fucking met and then hit it off. And then we ended up like going on this tour together. And then me and this guy became like super close friends. And the girl was like, you guys cannot be hanging out anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then eventually he broke up with her. And then like it became like him and me like texting about like, can you believe what this fucking bitch is doing now?
Dude, me and Duncan dated the same girl. We were like talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And afterwards where it's like, we're both in the same exact boat.
Yeah.
Ex-boyfriends of the same person.
And you're very, and we're very like similar. You're just like, this guy rules. We're the only thing we hated each other is because
it's almost like, why hate it? Because like, we actually have a lot in common. We have the same taste in women.
Yeah, we're just why on a 2-year different trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. You can't you can't be mad at somebody even fucking your girlfriend.
No, you can't.
He just likes the same, unless she's your friend.
As long as you're allowed to watch, it's fine.
So I don't, yeah. When did you start in a band?
So when I was like, that was kind of just all.
Were you in Hatebreed?
I like Hatebreed. He's around. Doesn't he do a show at Gas Digital?
Oh, that's Josta.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the lamest name for a band. It's a type of band that I would for sure not be into.
The metal bands all have the wild names like that with the wild fonts, and the punk bands always
it's like
the
Nazi
number
font.
Names.
It's like, we don't care. Yeah. And it's like, all right. And
the pop punk bands forever, it was the numbers. I remember the first, when I was, I think like whatever, 12, first band, Element 113. And then, it was an unknown element. And then, after we were that name for a few months, I remember looking it up and there was maybe 85 bands that called Element 113. Everyone thought they had that hot name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
No, the number thing was
so
hot.
Funny.
But that was just always sort of around. Like, it was just kind of like, you know, started playing music when I was, you know, 10 or whatever it was.
Really?
And then just, you know, played in bands forever. And then that just sort of like what ended up being what it was. But I do always think
what'd you play?
I was, drums was my main instrument, okay. And then I sang in the band, and then eventually we got a drummer and I just
Genesis.
Sang.
Well, you'd always say what? What were you going to say? I do always say.
That it is interesting, like, that even when I see a lot of the old band guys, like the guys that was the singer, you know, songwriter sort of dude that ran the show, which in comedians, every guy is sort of in charge, right? Like he's running his own little ship, where in the band, there's one guy that's sort of running the ship and then four guys that are friends with someone that runs a ship, right?
Diamond Dave.
Yeah.
Ran the ship, right? Because his mom had a basement they could use, Diamond David Lee Roth.
Yeah, and then there's someone else.
Who had the money to run it.
Dude, if you think about it, there's no really popular comedian that's, you know, been popular through the ages that you go, whatever you think of him, you go, this is like a smart dude. He's smart, savvy, like interesting take on life. There's probably not one where this isn't kind of an interesting person that's in a band.
That is not an interesting person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Almost every comedian you meet,
has
even
something
like
interesting
open micers,
to say.
You're like, oh, nothing. You're like, oh, but you're going to be a good comic. You come from a place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is, but in music, there is one or two of those. And then another guy that, you know, played bass and his friend was really smart.
Right. So who pushed it?
Yeah, so you'll see a lot of times musicians that, you know, coming out and they have a lot to say and things, and you go, I mean, if this is not the like singer-songwriter, you go, this is just a guy that his friend was popular, so he had like a easy life. But I think that, I feel like everyone's personality sort of is developed in, you know, that kind of 18 to 20, 18 to 30, sort of 25, maybe 18 to 25.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like I've even, when I talk to band guys, like still, I'm like, I think that I maybe am more of that than a comedian in a lot of ways, because that's when my like kind of core fundamental personality was developed. Like if I look back, like I haven't changed like a crazy amount since 25, 26, you know? Huh. Like, when I started stand up, I was a pretty fully formed like human.
You had already been on the road?
Yeah, I've been touring for 9 years at that point.
So that's already where you're going to become, you know, X-Man into your degenerate personality.
Yeah.
You know? You've been exposed. Like, for me, it was getting to the comedy store at 25. I was still a pretty sheltered kid.
Yeah.
I was out of religion, but I was just like, still sheltered. I had sex with two women, maybe.
And you started comedy at what age?
25.
Same thing, but.
Yeah, but at the store. And then I was around these.
But what about college? You go to college?
Yeah, but I was still sheltered enough.
Right.
It wasn't as much as the religious part, but it was enough where it was like, I was still a good kid.
That's where you figured out who you are.
But I'm saying once I got to like being around artists, like comics, then I became like, oh, nothing matters.
That's where the nihilism kicked in?
So mine was 25 to 30. And then past then it was like, I was always the same person.
No, I think look back and I go, the things I was saying at 25, I'm like, I was very, well, that's the thing with music. That's the big difference with comedy too, where I was like, by the time I was like 24,
yeah,
I was like old. You're like, you're an elder.
You're already torn.
Dude.
Yeah.
No, already touring. It's already wrapping up.
Right. Like models. Like you're 19. Like, do you have an escape plan?
But it really, I remember feeling at 25, like I'm fucking getting old for this thing.
Damn.
Yeah, you're like the old guy now.
How does Blink do it?
Well, they don't. I remember, you know, this is every band, but I remember, you know, Newfound Glory.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember being sort of, you know, 25-ish or whatever, and them, Newfound Glory kind of went back on the road, and we weren't really like that, but I just remember they were very popular or whatever, right? And there was all these articles about how sad it was, these like 30-year-olds playing for high school kids, and they're like, he's still on the road, he's 30, you know what I mean? And it's like, I remember being like, fuck, I know that I don't want to be doing that. Like, I know that I don't want to be like the 30-year-old doing this.
Oh my God. But then you have like, is Guided by Voices Canadian?
Is what?
Guided by Voices, are they Canadian?
No.
Where's, is it City and Color?
City and Color, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Alexis on Fire.
Yeah, but like, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
But it's like somehow not as
lame. Have you heard any of their new songs?
No.
Well, that's the difference, yeah, right?
They're done doing the new stuff.
Yeah, and that's like,
Rolling Stones. It's like you're a grandpa.
Any of those, if you think of like, yeah, Limp Bizkit or something, you go, if they tour, people probably come out, but you're coming out to go watch some nostalgia show.
Place. Yeah,
comic, you're going to watch the new hour. That was one of the things that I thought was cool. I mean, I always wanted to do like TV. Even when I was in the band, in my mind, I was like, okay, I'll turn this into a TV show. That's kind of like what my goal was. Like, I want to do like a Jackass, Tom Green sort of thing, right? But then with comedy, that is the cool thing, where it's like, if you look every of the biggest comedians, you know, 40, 45, 50, like, was their big years, you know what I mean?
Right, it's weird.
And there's the odd like superstar young person, but it really was where it's in if you're 30,
Burr's best year was in his 40s.
Dude,
best years.
27 is like, it's over in music.
Wow.
That's why I think music,
because you have to be young punks.
Yeah.
To be the Sex Pistols, it's like, fuck everything. And you're like, yeah, you can't do that at 50.
And
what's wrong with you at that point?
And past, I think 25, you're already getting detached from like what's cool and what kids care about.
There's that too. So then you start singing about like Jay-Z singing about 401ks.
You're out of it. You lost it.
It's a totally different thing.
But I say Jay-Z's smart because he does what I think is a smarter one. He's kind of very like, I'll find the new young guy. He's like, accepts that he's sort of out of touch with it.
Yeah.
Whereas there's the other people that do I would say like Eminem comes out and he goes, these kids don't even get it. Like rap sucks now.
That's a geezer move.
That's always a geezer move.
And I've seen comics, when I started comics, it's the same thing. These young comics are fucking
It's
like, oh dude, you're about to be done.
It's done.
Instead of going, wow, these young comics are really like changing the game up.
Yeah. Well, you look at what I always say, you go, look at the younger people for energy, and then look at the people older than you for like skill and talent and stuff like that. And you go, you'll never be, even like the wild, like getting kicked out of places, Tom Green Jackass game that I was into. You go, you'll never be able to go get kicked out of places and be wild like you were when you're 20.
It just doesn't
work. You're fucking 35 being a getting kicked out of place guy?
It's lame.
You just have to be so good at getting kicked out of places.
Yeah, my buddy Steve Simone does a bit about like, or used to do a bit about it, like getting drunk on at 18 or 19 was so fun, or 21 in college. And if you're doing that at 31 or 41, then you're like, what's wrong? It's a weekday.
What is going
on? Yeah, do you need help?
Yeah, it's a tough look at that age. You know, like even
I love when that last person in your friend group doesn't grow up.
You have a million of those, yeah.
Oh, I think I might be their friend. I just realized I'm fucking throwing drugs into my friend's drinks. I think I might be the friend who didn't grow up.
You know how, well, you have, I think you're the most person that is this, where it's like, you know, with like girls or whatever, like people that are good with girls, there's a little bit of like, yo, you just have to like kind of not give a shit.
Yeah.
And then people are like, how do I do that? And you go, well, you actually have to not care. Yeah. But I think with a lot of that young, like energy is, they actually kind of don't give a shit. You're like, it's actually wild. Once you care, you can't now go back and not care. But
and
I think you do you do probably have a bit of like, you kind of really make moves at someone that like doesn't give that much of a shit makes.
Well, I think I give a shit just not about the things that everyone else cares about. So that
I'm not saying you don't give a shit about everything, but like,
disappearing
for like 5 months or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying I care about seeing the world. It's like, I do care, just not about furthering my success in Hollywood all the time.
Priorities are different, yeah.
I heard somebody was talking about, you know, you see comedians now, like, literally, like, devolving
publicly, like online, like you see them turning crazy and filming it for us on Instagram. Like you see them going into mental instability.
A lot.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, they need help. And someone's like, well, you know, they can't take time away from their podcast. I'm like, dude, they're dying. What, are you crazy? This is what Amy Winehouse's reps told her. Like, that's nuts.
But that's what I mean. That, so you have like an essence of, I don't give a shit in my comedy that.
Oh, and that, yeah.
That I mean, that it like, you still have that, you still like are tapped into that, like, fucking, if you guys all walk out, then I don't give a shit. Like, right. Which is attractive, yeah. And I think people like it, but that's where it comes from, because it's real, because you like are willing to sort of like walk away. That's what I mean. But yeah.
Sometimes I remember every once in a while I'll see like an old person at a show, a conservative, and they might have just gotten tickets because it's Saturday night, so let's go right. To see a show. And you are too. Further on the degenerate scale. Well, not degenerate, what's a better word?
Mainstream comedy, dirty comedy. I think comedy. That's probably a good word.
So
no, I think
there's dirty, there's clean. Degenerate.
Dissonant.
And then right, okay. And then there's of dirty, there's degenerate.
Yeah.
That's like the furthest end of it. And the furthest of that is Rouse.
He's the, yes.
He's the most untakeable for a layman, you know?
No, it really is.
You
like,
and I are, we push further than that. Nate is the most, everyone can love Nate.
And that's the other way, cream. Yeah.
But anyway.
But his is almost, it sort of changed where Rouse is very old school, like, you know, I'm fucking jacking off with a belt around my neck and a fucking nun's watch, whatever, right?
If you're into it, it's amazing.
But like, that is almost, nowadays, they're like, oh, good, he's not talking about trans people. Like, now it's like, oh, it's almost like BG.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, oh, it's like, good. Like, if he's,
thanks for not bringing up
politics.
He didn't
say the N-word. Right, like, you
right,
know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. He's just talking, right, he's talking about horrible things he's done to himself.
Yeah, that's almost like,
yeah.
Okay, that's.
But when I see an old person sometimes doing the end of dirty sometimes, it, which is offensive, all of it, I sometimes go I'm really sorry you have to hear it. Like, I have no choice. This is just who I am, but I apologize if you're upset. I get it. I see where you'd be upset with me.
Yeah, you go, and they go, they're not offended, they just don't like this, right? Well, maybe yeah. They're offended, but it's like, you go, it's not crazy to be like some person's, you know, 60 years old on a date, and you're up there like talking about fucking coming in someone's skull, and they're like, I don't like this, and you're like, well, you're a pussy, and they go, I don't know, yeah, fine, I'm a
fine,
pussy,
yeah, whatever, yeah. I just don't like it,
I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, music doesn't get that. If someone's playing polka up there, I'm like, I don't like this, then I'm like, well, what can I do for you? They're like, hey man, it's a polka show.
Yeah, why are you going?
You should probably leave. No offense.
You're here on the wrong night. I think the lesson you learned is Google the comic.
Yeah, it's the hardest though with showcase shows at like the Stand, the Cellar, whatever. Where it's like, you don't know who's going to be there at all. And it's a wide range of comics.
But you, do you not do like a little more of your own thing when it's on tour than you do in the city?
Yeah, I had Lisa open for me once in Toronto. Where are you from?
Yeah, Toronto.
Toronto. And I was like, at the 42, JFL 42 once. And I was like, hey, by the way, it's my crowd. Like, you can be as dirty as you want. Like,
yeah, they like it.
There's no, for me, there's no restrictions, but for them also, there's almost no restrictions. Like, they'll take anything. And so she goes, okay. She did a dirty joke, and she goes, Ari said I can do whatever I want. And they all start going crazy cheering. Because it's like, yes, bring it. We know you're joking.
I do have
a crowd like that. You don't have to, like, walk on eggshells.
We have our boy that just moved here. He's like a wild, like, he's like this ex-stripper dude that was kind of gay.
Yeah,
he just moved here. No, he's buddies with Berg, yeah. But we brought him on tour, and, like, there was people that, even with him, where they were like, no, this is our boy. But he was like, we would get a lot of comments of people being like, yo, that guy, who is that pervert? They call him a pervert.
It's so great.
There is something about, like, as you get older, there is something about, like, if it's not going good and the guy's like a little older,
it seems creepier.
He's creepier. Whereas a 20-year-old is kind of
yeah. Or like at the club, you ever go to a club and see someone who's just aged out? I know they're a club guy and they became a club guy at 26.
Certain,
but
things,
they're 42
yeah.
now, and it's just like your presence is creeping everyone out.
Yeah. Do you know what I feel the exact same about is alt comedy, where it's like,
ooh,
like, okay, so when you're young, most comics start out kind of doing like deconstructionalist comedy, right?
Because you're afraid to dive in. I think that's the reason why. You're afraid to really commit to something. So you're like, let me go a different way.
It is that. Yeah. Okay. And if you're really funny, you can point out what's bad before you can do what's good.
Damn. That's a good point. So, that is why everyone does all.
Yeah. So they're kind of like, they start out making fun of like, you know, oh, look at this lame stuff that everyone does. And they're like, that's a pretty good observation. They go, okay, well, you go do it better now. And they're like, well, I can't do that.
But, I mean, it's like being a sports broadcaster. You're like, well, I don't know how to hit a home run. I'm just saying, yeah, this guy's home run production is down.
For sure,
I can't
right?
hit a single one.
But as you get older, I feel like when someone's 45 and their whole thing is like making fun of comedy, essentially, and like pointing out all the bad things, they go, yeah, but you've been doing this for 20 years and you're not able to, like, I'll take that from someone that can also do the real thing. Like, you guys like Louis do both. He's like, he does real comedy, then he goes, I'll make fun of bad comedy or whatever, right? But if you go, I'm just make fun of what everyone else does bad, I go, okay, but can you do it good? Well, no. And you're like, all right, well, I'll take that from a 20-year-old.
Exactly. Or when somebody does their first special and it's this weird thing, like Bill Burr did a black and white special after having done 5 or 6 top shelf specials. So it's like, all right, do an experiment.
Yeah.
But you can't start your first special in some weirdo, like, I'm doing this from a cruise ship or fucking whatever audience or Eddie. You can't.
That drives me nuts.
Prove it first and then go again. It's like artists. It's like the people who paint a white square on a canvas. It's like, I could have done that. It's like, yeah. But they also
can
do photorealistic
stuff.
They can
also do the
other
thing.
And they've proven that they can. And now they're doing this.
But they can also paint you perfectly also.
The fact that they can do that and they're not is part of the statement.
It's such a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I have that argument a lot with people that I know and they're trying to do something wacky. I go, this is just a cop-out. Like, I go, do what you want to do, but let's not pretend this is something it isn't. It's like, you want to do this, so it doesn't have to be judged on like an actual one-to-one scale with the other things.
Dude, I had an agent who was just starting, and I was trying to do rock clubs. I was trying to move from clubs to rock clubs. I thought they were cool. I wanted to try them. Yeah. David Cross used to do them. Neil Hamburg used to do them. And I was like, this seems cool. Canaan. And I was like, I think my audience is there. And he was like, no, the money's not good, and you can't. It's really hard to get booked. It's hard to draw people there. And I was like, all right. And then he moved to a bigger company and got more. And he goes, hey, I totally have connections now. I can get you rock clubs. And I'm like, it was because you couldn't. Okay. That makes sense.
I feel like that's one of those things I've gotten better at, like, as I go older, like, in business, that I feel like having those conversations and being like, hey, is the reason you're saying this is because of this? Or that, like, you know, because to me, it makes sense that you would just, you know, do this. Or is this something where you go, I really am going to have to go really far out of my way to pull this off as well. Yeah. Like, you know, let's just have a conversation.
Can you just be honest and be like, hey, you can do it. I'm not the guy for you. My old commercial agent, Lawrence Hart, was the best one, a baller.
Yeah, he used to be a big commercial guy, right?
Yeah, I did like 60, 70, something like that.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, they were great. They were great.
That's a racket.
Because you can make between, I mean, sometimes you just paid you $500 for the day, it would never air. And you're like, fuck, but sometimes it would just keep running. You get paid for when it rents.
I've had a few of those. I probably did 5. But
really?
No, I wasn't. I didn't have a look that booked for commercials very
good. I
did.
I was, especially with my curly hair and glasses, I was the human.
It's a pretty good commercial look. You're right.
The guy who fixes computers at the office. I was that.
Hell yeah.
But Lawrence would always be like, hey, if you see an audition, he was the best. He'd renegotiate. Korean, only race better than Jews. Like, he would fucking get in there. But if you see an audition, like, next door to you that's good for you, he goes, call me, I'll get you in, or crash it, I'll figure out a way to crash it for you.
Come on.
But you better get a call back. If you think you're right, you better be really right for it. But he goes, also, sometimes, because of who I am, what a fucking bulldog I am, there are some casting directors who will not see any of my clients. And he goes, if that's going to be hard for you, go ahead and get somebody else. Overall, you'll do a lot better for me, with me, but there's here or there.
This guy rules.
Yeah, and he'll be honest about it. He goes, yeah, she won't see me, so sneak in if you can.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, if they could just say, hey, I can't do that. If you're looking for that, let me help you find somebody.
Yeah, and calling the bullshit out. Hey,
that's what I do
that...
when I get offers for like religious Jewish like community centers and stuff. I'm like, I will get you fired.
Yeah.
I'm not the right guy for you. Let me tell you about Avi Lieberman.
I just had one today that I was trying to do this branded thing, and it was like a lot of money, and I pitched them something, and then I thought about it for like a week, and it was pretty bugging me. I'm just like, I don't think I could make this without being a piece of shit. And then I made something that was like kind of aggressive, and then I got like half the money or whatever, and then I had the call for them, and they were like, yeah, we can release this, blah, 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 blah. And then I just, like I said, they were like, can we do this? And I just, this morning before I saw you, I walked away from it. I go, you know what, just pull the plug. It was like quite a bit of money, but I was just like, I don't think I could make this in a way that I'm not going to be like, this sucks.
Let me ask you a question. A couple things. This is a side note from whatever we're talking about. When you said I got to walk away, what was your feeling, inner feeling at that point? In that, like, as soon as you're like, hey, I can't.
The move, yeah, it was the move.
Did you get a feeling of relief?
Yes.
Or did you get a, you did?
Yeah.
So you know it's the right move.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're like, even if it's like social stuff, like, I got too many parties this weekend, and you go, hey, I think I gotta miss your party. And you're like, and you're like, that was for sure the right move.
Yeah, it's almost like if it would be good if you had a, you could fake it where you convince yourself you did the thing and then see how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Or like, hey, do you want the green candy or the purple one? You're like, I don't care. You're like, okay, I'll take purple. And you're like, oh. You're like, okay, that's your real.
I did just do, I've done that with a couple things recently where I actually had like, dude, I fucking had that with agents where I was like, I just released, finished this special and I was like, okay, I think the move is to do a one-nighter tour all at once. I can promote it properly. In 5 months, I'm going to have, I can, 5 months, I could put together enough of it to do my hour, blah, blah, blah. And I got off the phone after an hour of discussing this. I got off the phone and was just like, no, that's wrong. And I literally called them back 5 minutes. I go, that whole conversation that we had, like, that's not the move. I can't do that.
Yeah, it's hard too because you got to tell them. But you just said, I'm like, I know, I know, I know. Like, I definitely did just say.
Like, you psychopath.
Mm-hmm, but it's wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. And I just...
Dude, the, it's,
and the best is they have to nail me phony because they were just like, they have to, because at the time they're like, this is brilliant, you know, totally the move. And you call them back, I go, it's wrong. And they go, great decision. This is also the move.
That's their power, is regrouping on anything. Hey, let me ask you though, so that thing of walking away from money, that is morals or integrity, whatever you want to say. That's what that is. Well, I would love that money. This is not worth the cost, as opposed to, I love the money, I don't care what the cost is.
I feel like there's two ways of looking at that, because you can say I'm being moral, or it's another part where it's like, you know, that fucking, if you want to look at it like a straight up business decision, you could still be like, hey, that 15 grand or whatever isn't worth the like hit I feel like my brand would take. You could put,
oh, right.
Do you know what
if
I mean?
You wanted some corn, I had to walk away from a TV
so
show
you could
and I'm
put,
like, you guys made it so corny that it's, it'll be bad for me overall.
Yeah. So you go, I don't want to put out garbage on my channel. I want to.
Because you'll lose money in the end.
If yeah.
Even
yeah,
on the
something.
Money scale, you're like, this will be worse for me.
And if you go down that road, if you start putting out stuff where you go, I don't think this is good, but whatever. It's now you've tweaked your brain where that's allowed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Once you.
The first one is the worst one.
Well, that's the old saying.
It's the hooker.
You give up one. You give up 1% of the thing, you give up 100% of the principle.
Yeah.
But if you go, yeah, sometimes I put out junk I don't think's funny. If you do it once, now you do it.
Right. Churchill's thing of like, will you have sex with me for $10? And they're like, no. What are you talking about? It's some like debutante ball. He goes, hey, can I talk to you for real? I'll give you $500,000 if you have sex with me. And she was like, yeah, okay. And then he's like, here's $10. Let's go fuck. And she's like, no, you said $50,000. He goes, okay, well, we've already decided you're a whore. So we can negotiate now. Now we can negotiate on what. Yeah, exactly. Different times. Yeah, you're right. Once you negotiate with your own morals, then it's over.
Yeah, I think so.
I've fallen by accident sometimes where I'm like, I've booked someone for a TV show where I'm like, I don't think they're going to be good, but maybe just to get somebody off my back about diversity or something. And I convince myself maybe, and then like later go, that was a morally bankrupt. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I should have fought harder, found a different girl.
Yeah. Well, if you're not like operating in some sort of like foundation, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then if you know what, even with making stuff, I think this is one of the things where I go, coming from having this like whole fucking career in a different thing before I started stand up.
Yeah.
I do feel like I'm like, I've made these mistakes before and don't do it again. It's like, whereas
right.
The minute you get, all you have is your like instincts of what, and you go, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but that's what you have. That's what you have.
Yeah.
So as soon as you get away from that, you go, now you have nothing. Now you're just guessing. How many people are just guessing? They go, should I do this? What should I do this? You go, you're just guessing.
You're completely guessing. Instead of going like, no, this has always been good for me. I'll do this. I've done that by mistake. Let me stay away from that.
Yeah, and you have no foundation of even like, what should I be talking about? Like on stage, I go, you must have had jokes where you go, this is killing. And you go, I don't even think
I agree with this.
Yeah, something's off about it.
Yeah, you feel it. You feel it. It's something nagging you.
Sometimes it'll be like, I presented myself in a way that's not really accurate, even if maybe I agree with the point. Or for me, a lot of times it'll be like, okay, I'm saying this point and you go, everyone already kind of thinks this and I'm presenting it like it's a hot take. And you go, I'm sort of just like presenting consensus like it's some sort of a, you know, a revelation. And I go, even if it's killing, I go, something about this doesn't fit.
I'm acting like I know, like I'm making too big a deal out of it. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Something doesn't fit.
And it'll nag you every time you do it on stage until you finally face like, what's this nag?
Yeah, you go, or you can just go, I know I don't do those. Boom, that's gone. And so what?
Yeah.
And I think that in everything, you could probably, here's a quick question.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jews. Do you agree with my theory that Indians and Jews are very similar?
Wait, which Indians?
Like Hindu. Pindu Punjabi.
Bargaining. Let me think.
Sense of humor is a big one for me.
Sense of humor. Interesting, because if you ask me without posing it this way, if you just like rank the people with sense of humor, I would go Jews, yeah, Australians, Irish.
You put Australians? I mean,
oh yeah, they're always fun.
Fun is correct.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
You have fun. Yeah.
But Indians, I would say, have no sense of humor.
Really?
And maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe even looking at the Indian comedians,
like Akash, who's the guy with the TV show that used to be in Goatface, who's now like political. He's got a Netflix show.
Oh, Hasan Minhaj.
Hasan, who's the guy who took over for Michael Che's show at Matchless.
Not sure, but there's Russell Peters.
Russell Peters is going to be.
You are right when we.
They talk serious. They make jokes out of serious stuff.
Those guys are.
Out of theories.
You're right, because the comedians sort of almost act like Asians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or they act black. They always have this black accent for every like Indian comic.
Well, there's two options for Indian dudes where I grew up. They either go like frat boy or hood.
Or, oh, interesting. Or they go urban. I am from India. I'm a nerd.
They play the full nerd. I think I'm talking about second generation.
Oh, right, right, right.
But even like a cab driver, they have the same kind of, the energy. But you're right. That's not what you're seeing on stage. You're seeing very,
Here's the theory. Yo, guys, we got to overcome. We got to do this. And then here's the tagline. Here's the punchline.
But I guess that would be the equivalent of saying, white people on show business. And then who isn't?
Nimesh was the guy.
Yeah, Nimesh. He's funny. But who isn't in fucking the industry system kind of scolding you right now? That's all of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
theory comedy instead of
you're saying that jokes are intellectually crafted.
Yeah, right, right, right. And so that it's like.
You kind of.
Whereas Jewish stuff is like, hey, you're right. I've never noticed Indians have a good sense of humor.
The Indians.
So on that level, I'll say no. The cheapness, for sure.
Cheapness is always funny.
Yeah.
Did you read the Cheapskates Handbook?
No.
It's a pretty funny book.
Let's see if I can download it for free online.
There was this humor book that came out a while ago, and one of the things they said in it, they go, cheapness is never not funny. it was like a rules of comedy thing.
Big cheap. That's funny. That is funny.
It was like, cheapness is never not funny. Hating your wife is never not funny. Like, it had a list of the.
Supposed to love your wife.
It's basically Al Bundy. Like, all of the things were kind of Al Bundy from Married with Children. That's just like, funny. Things not working out for you is never not funny.
Yeah. Wait, let's talk about something morally not bankrupt, which is your special.
Yeah,
dude. It is out now.
Yeah.
You guys have. Low cost of $0. You can get it on www.youtube.com.
YouTube.com/RyanLongComedy. Pretty pumped.
/RyanLongComedy. Okay. I'll tell her about that.
And
I'll put a link to it on comedy. At the bottom of the, if you were listening to this on Spotify or YouTube or Apple Podcasts, there'll be a link right at the bottom. Click on it and watch Ryan's special tape to the stand, right?
Yeah, I did the
what
stand.
What are you calling it?
White Immigrant.
That's what you are.
Yeah, and I just got Rachel Dolezal to do a cameo for it.
No. A cameo?
I paid on Cameo for Rachel Dolezal.
Isn't it hilarious
to be like,
that you're a leader of the NAACP and you've now, because of social craziness, have to result to like cameos?
Dude, it's fucking funny because I remember someone was telling me, they're like, do you think she knew that you were fucking with her? I go, she does zero cameos of people not fucking with her.
Yeah. What do they want? Like, hey, tell me, can you just tell me legitimately about the black cause in Ohio?
Is there a single person that's just like a fucking old school Rachel Dolezal fan?
I just saw your curly hair. I thought it was cool. Can you do a cameo?
But that was making me laugh.
Wait a
minute,
dude. I just talked about this on my Patreon. My only corporate gig was for the Border Patrol. Me and Nick Youssef did a show.
You only had one in your whole life?
I'm dirty. I've been approached a couple times, like, can you be clean? I'm like, no. And I honestly can't even think in those terms.
Really?
I'm sure I have some clean stuff. I don't want to even consider what is clean and what's dirty because it's not my standard.
Yeah.
Saying I'm fucking going to the bathroom and using that word there, it's like, I don't even want to think about whether that's dirty or clean.
I feel like I'm there now, but it took me a while to get there of just saying to corporate people, like, let's do us both a favor and skip this.
Let's do us both a favor, yeah. But he was like, hey, I saw the La Jolla Comedy Store. Like, I saw your regular act. We want that.
Okay, sure.
And so who works at the Border Patrol is what we think is Mexican border. There is also the Montana, whatever border, the North Dakota border. With you guys.
Yeah.
And the difference of those people at the convention for the northern border, for the southern border, the war versus the fucking, you know, we try to catch some. We're really just checking paperwork.
No, Canadians, you can cross. There's a bunch of places in Canada you can just cross, and people just, sometimes people do it because they go, I don't even want to deal with it. So they just cross at the fake border.
Wow. What do you mean, like the woods borders?
There's one in Edmonton, one in Quebec. And people, here's an example. I know people that they're waiting for their green card or something like that, and they go, you're not really supposed to be crossing back and forth, it's kind of not great. So they go, oh, but I gotta go, I wanna go watch the game or something. So they just cross at the border, so it was never recorded that they crossed the border.
Oh, interesting. Like, they don't even record it. What is it, just a border, they don't even stamp you? They just like,
no, it's a road that
is unchecked.
Unchecked.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure that, you know, every now and then they got a guy there or whatever, and then you go, oh, I'm fucking, is that where,
just
this
so there's
road
there's a
goes?
Risk of bringing tons of drugs across.
Yeah, but, I mean, the people that I know isn't,
but we
smuggling
don't care.
Drugs.
We don't
people...
give a shit about you guys coming. We really don't. Obviously, you've been here. Nobody gives a shit about Canadians here.
Yeah.
Canadians probably are taking our jobs. They you do. Are literally
well,
taking
tell
a
that
spot
to...
away from me.
They do have people. I mean, one of our friends that, you know, won't air him out publicly, that we know, he's fucking like banned for a year right now. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
people get, you know.
Kathleen.
They get banned for 5 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, is that what she got?
She came over and
she's Kathy McGee, right?
Yeah, she was working whatever, and then she like went home for holidays, came back, like, no,
back.
And then had to have Russell like pay for two different lawyers.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, it is one of those things where they go, because that was kind of one of the, you know, some of the stuff I talk about, especially with people when I came here, everyone's like, yeah, but you didn't really immigrate, you're Canadian. You're just like, I mean, it costs like, you know, 20 grand, fucking 3 years of my life. Like, yeah. Fucking, it's like.
You don't have to get in a U-Haul truck, but it is restrictive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You go, it's a thing. You do the same process too, right? And you, and then.
Process.
And then people will be like, well, yeah, but you're white though. And you're like, that's not one of the boxes on the application when you're immigrating.
Yeah.
And it's like some person in like DC. It's not like, oh, fucking good. They don't care. Like, that's not what the criteria is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. That stuff was funny. But
well, it's exciting. Is this your first special?
No, I did three others.
Comedy Time?
What?
Comedy Now? What's the
no,
one
no.
in Canada? What's the
I,
one in Canada?
I came,
comedy
I started
now?
Comedy when those were basically done.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, that's the one that fucking popped Rosa Peters.
Comedy Now?
Yeah, 5 years after the fact.
It's crazy. They put it up on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I did all internet stuff. I've done the whole, I kind of built my whole thing on the internet. I turned down, like, so on this one, I know a lot of people kind of look at it as like, oh, YouTube. But to me, it seems like all of the big specials are coming out on YouTube. It seems like
I
the
saw
move.
Shane say it to somebody. They're like, oh, it's your special. We were hanging out somewhere. And he goes, oh, it's just YouTube. I'm like, stop saying just, man. It's just your special. It's your special. It's
well,
your
yeah.
Special.
And
stop
I think
saying
that's
just YouTube.
I think that's where like, I come from, like the fucking punk thing where I go, dude, what? Think about how many bands are huge. And they go, yeah, they're big from YouTube or SoundCloud or fucking Spotify or whatever. I go, so what? Like, what's the difference? You go, you know, that old thing, like, what? Put it on Comedy Central so no one can see it? It's like, people
you
are actually going to see my thing.
He has right now, he has 3.8 million hits on his thing. On Netflix, it would
Norman
have had 1
million
and stopped. Norman would have had 1.5 million and done.
Yeah.
So it's like at most for that first week, and if that was when it was 2 years ago with Norman's, Shane's now probably 600,000.
And we all built a platform. You built a platform and then you're releasing your thing there. I go, why? I just don't, I have no idea why it would, why would you put it somewhere else? It didn't make sense. So anyways, I turned down a few offers on it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Some of them were kind of big, but maybe.
Those are also hard, right? Because it's like money, but you're like, I'll sell more tickets. Fuck.
I think that there is an amount that I probably would have done it. Maybe.
They give you $50 million. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's over
right.
The amount. They're like,
yeah.
Okay.
There's an amount that you just does. You go from the capital. It just doesn't make sense to say no, but I go, I was pretty barely entertaining the conversations because I was set on this is what I want to do.
I'm not even going to offer my next special. Any, I mean, if they, I guess if they came to me, I would have a meeting with
them.
Yeah,
that's what happened. That's exactly what I did. I kind of had meetings with people that came to me.
I'm also like, you're a bigger internet presence than I am, but I'm also like, for the amount of money you would take.
Dude, you put your old one up and it did like, what, 600,000-700,000? Yeah. And you go, that was an old one that you just threw up.
10, 12 years ago. And it's like, you're
just throwing
it up.
So imagine what the new one would do.
Somebody's been stalking me. And,
I pay attention. I'm an online guy. Yeah. They do push comedy and they, you know, they judge it differently too in terms of like what they take down and stuff. Cause you know, YouTube sucks. They take down shit and it is a pain in the ass. You get strikes and all that
different?
Stuff. They judge stand-up comedy differently than they judge other
I was
things.
Wondering that
it's
because I have
yeah.
a couple things where on paper, they're like, you can't say this. yeah. a slur or something.
Well, so, like, so you're because the argument is you go, this is kidding, I don't really mean it or whatever.
Instagram and doesn't ever
in
see
a podcast,
that. Twitter
everyone's having this
that.
Argument. But like that argument sticks when you're on stage in a microphone in front of them laughing.
Because it looks more like this is art.
It's clear, yeah. Same with the rap video. Like the same reason you can't really like threaten to kill someone, but like you kind of can in a rap video.
It's art. This is like, this is artistic license.
Yeah, so I think it's the move to release. I mean, dude, Nick DiPaolo special is some pretty fucking wild stuff, and it's on YouTube.
Oh, great.
Not even age restricted.
Interesting. Well, that's great, man. I'm excited for you. This is like going to like, I mean, with your sketches, people are already kind of aware of you, but stand-up is a different
thing. My last special kind of backdated got a lot of views, like the other stuff. Like, I have a lot of stand-up clips that have like done really well kind of since I moved here that were already out.
Yeah.
The, you know, did millions of views or whatever. But yeah, this is the
that's great.
Kind of people paying attention where you go, it is the business. And then also it's a business card.
Right, and they'll see it years later. Like that Russell Peters thing, it was years later. It never would have popped off on the Comedy Now TV channel website. No. Only on YouTube where somebody was like, oh, look at this. Ali Siddiq, he did a story. And it was like a year later, somebody put it up on Reddit and it just hit from like 100,000 to a million a year later.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's possible on YouTube.
Dude,
and it's
I
not
moved
a
to America.
White immigrant, everybody. Go look at it right
with
now.
With my special, Nanette 2, it was called.
Nanette 2?
And it had probably 30,000 views. And that was from like 2 years ago, or probably a year ago when I moved here. And then now it has like combined clips, like 25 million views.
Damn.
Like with the clips and stuff. And it was like, it was at 25,000 for a year and a half or 2 years.
That's
you know?
So cool.
Yeah.
It's almost cooler than if it just got it all at once.
But that is why, kind of going back to what we talked about, like I do pay attention to this body of work where you go, it's not just, I know the internet game, it's very easy to just be like, crank it out, crank it work. If you go, no, I want to be able to look at
what
all
are you
the
putting out? What are you putting out? Is this just some chaff? Because it's like easy. It's like, oh, I'll just throw this shit up. It's like, no, man. Like, so I'm doing this now with this. Whatever.
And if you don't care, what are you doing? Like, if you don't
what do you
like,
care? This is your product.
Yeah.
Make it good. Like, well, you could do a special for $5,000. I'm like, okay, but
why?
Are you doing this just to get ticket buyers? You're putting out a thing.
That's going through the motions.
Are you if you write a book, are you never going to make it hard copy?
Yeah.
Like, make a nice cover. Ever get a CD with those little flimsy ones? Remember the CDs? And it was like the thin CDs. Like, yeah, dude, this seems jankier. I know it doesn't affect the music, but like, get a full CD case.
Yeah. Have you had any points in your life where you go, I feel like I'm just going through the motions and I had to check it?
Yeah, for sure.
Where you go, fuck, I don't really like writing, I don't like the stuff I'm making. You go, do I just hate all of this? And you go, I gotta start again and do something.
Sometimes you need a break.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Sometimes.
Well, you know, Jon Stewart once said, it's one of my favorite quotes, but he was like, sometimes when you're doing it, you know, especially the extent to which he was in his prime is like, he goes, you're just making stuff where it's synthetic comedy. You go, it feels like comedy, smells like comedy, but it's not really comedy.
You see people like guest hosting a show, and I'm like, this is all written for you. You're doing exactly. You're filling in the blanks of like, this is what a comedy sketch looks like on a daytime talk show.
But yeah, like, you're doing an impression of comedy, I guess.
An impression of comedy, and then if you can face it, then you'll have like breakthrough of like where Bill Burr broke through, or Louis C.K. starts shitting on his children hard. Was the first one to do that. Like, oh, this is now probably interesting.
It's a cool thing to do.
Yeah,
dude, the whole thing like doing art or whatever.
Yeah.
Anything like this fucking stinks. If you don't like the thing, then you go, this is maybe the worst life available. So you better fucking like the thing.
I have to keep it going. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna be starving artists.
You know when people are like, I just want to fucking, you know, get this so I can get money into this and this. You go, there's better ways to do that than fucking stand up comedy.
I see all these people that are fucking Instagram famous. And it's like, this isn't even the thing you wanted to do.
Yeah, right.
You know? At least like Sam Morril just keeps posting fucking stand-up clips on Instagram.
Yeah, the
so
current
like, great,
stand-up
okay,
clips.
Great,
yeah.
Okay. So stand-up is what you're getting big of. It's not from, I don't know, hey, here I'm at the liquor store. Okay, ha ha. Next. Oh, look, I saw a wedding across the street. Ha ha.
Right.
It's like, dude, this isn't your thing.
I sometimes even, which is like corny,
yeah.
But I'll maybe monthly or, you know, I don't know how often, but I will kind of make notes to myself where I go, what are the three things that like you actually care about? And it'll be like stand up, making good sketches, and maybe like, you know, street interviews or whatever it is. But, and then sometimes I'll realize it's not. And I go, okay, this is the three things. And then you go, get like reset your brain where the other stuff's gone. And I try to
right. This is what matters. Reset. Yeah, that's good to do. Check in. I have some podcast intros I like to go off and do like just a fun, like retarded, like just out there craziness. Like after Alec Baldwin, I'm like, he wanted to kill that person. You know, just like fun, stupid takes.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I'm like, dude, you just talked for 18 minutes with saying nothing. What's even the point of that?
There is sort of an art to that, though. It's like, I guess
prepare,
if you like
you
it.
Idiot. Prepare something, an angle.
Right.
I'm like, what are you doing? You're just going through the motions? Sometimes I'll press record, like post on a stand-up, not a stand-up, but a podcast. I'm like, guys, I'm sorry. That was valueless for 23 minutes of nothing.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit. I fucking... No, but that was the biggest one where if I look back at when I was like in the band thing where I go, I'm over this. You go.
You were done with it?
Yeah, I think there was a while. And when I look back, probably the biggest thing was I didn't care about making music anymore. I really was like, oh, I want to, you know, okay, I guess we should do a music video. Maybe we should try to get on this. Like, I was thinking like that. And I go,
I guess we should do this. But like, do you want to do that?
No, I didn't care about making music.
Yeah.
I was just trying to fucking make sure the band was bigger or whatever.
It's a trap. Get bigger. It's and like, then you get better.
And then there is that thing where it's kind of like, you know, in the movies where the guy, you know, I think they was like the Chris Rock movie where he actually goes back and does stand up and he's like, oh, I like this or whatever, right? When he's playing the character. It was one, I remember I fucking stopped music. I go, I'm out, like retired, essentially. Yeah. I go, band's not playing anymore. We're not like we had like an album deal. I go, I'm not doing it, like that kind of stuff. And then I remember, you know, like 2 years later, sit down and like tinkering with drums and you're like, well, drums are kind of fun, you know what I mean?
I mean, sometimes you got to walk away for a little bit to learn to love it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything, you know?
Oh, right. Remember this? I actually like playing drums.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or like leaving New York for a road gig and then like, oh, I'm over it. And then you come back after some nature and you're like, oh, yeah, this place is great.
Yeah.
I just needed a minute away.
But it is going, it's going back to the ex-girlfriend for one fun night.
One fun night, exactly. Like, oh, right. That's how I am with LA. I'm like, I kind of started to learn to hate it, but like, way before the homeless thing or anything. I love when everybody left during COVID. Rogan was like, Seth Rogan was like,
Seth Rogen,
yeah, Rogen, was like, yeah. Oh, it sucks there. I'm like, you're just discovering this now? I left 10 years ago, dude. It's full of fucking spoiled actors.
His hot take that you've been telling him forever.
Yeah, it's been garbage. What are you talking about? Yeah, the ex-girlfriend, you get one more chance. So let me ask you, this band you played, what was the name of the band?
John Stones? Yeah.
Like Johnston?
I go back, you know, we're talking about embarrassing stuff. I do go back and forth on, was like, were we sick or was this
two words? John
corny?
Stones?
One word.
Johnston's.
Yeah. Johnstones.
Is that the Canadian pronunciation or is that?
It was a guy's last name.
Who?
There was
the guy in the band.
It was a bass player that, like, eventually we kicked out of the band.
And kept his name?
Yeah, it was kind of a thing, actually. Wow. Yeah.
He was like, well, then you can't use my.
Yeah, he didn't want us to use it, but that was we did. Yeah,
well, we're going to. So.
We got tattooed on us. So.
I mean, imagine like, let's say you date someone. This is always the thing about dating someone else's girlfriend. What if you start dating them before you even know? You know, I'm dating some girl, and then
I did do that once.
Yeah, and then you're like, then the guy's like, well, you should break up. I'm like, it's been 10 dates.
Right,
we're beyond.
It's a little tough. Yeah,
I didn't do anything wrong here. Sorry, you're upset, but like. We already kind of like had loving moments. Like,
yeah, you almost just have to be like, so anyways, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, I get it. We can't be friends, but I'm not breaking up with my girlfriend.
This whole thing's over, but yeah. I'm in deep with this chick.
Could you change the name of the Johnstones? Like, nah, I got a tattoo.
That I won't talk about, they won't mention his name in common, but we were talking about like breaking up with chicks. Like, every dude's such a pussy with breaking up with girls, whereas girls are kind of like very much like, you just walk in and tell them like, this isn't working out and that's the end of it. Yeah. Whereas every guy's like, I'll just stay with her forever, right?
Stay with her six extra months. So I really hate her and then I have no choice but to break up. Or I'll cheat on her, let her find out.
You go, or she cheats on me, that'd be the dream,
dude.
Oh,
that'd be the best, yeah. And then I'll feel up her hand. I did nothing wrong.
He goes, I'm breaking up with her, I'm doing it now. I go, no, you're not, right? And then I go, yeah, okay, you think you're a bigger man than me. You're the guy, right? This is a while ago. And then he comes back and he goes, yeah, like, you know, she started crying, so we're still together. And I go, no, but honestly, this is good. We set the framework for maybe a couple years from now, you do it, that's what I'm saying. Maybe a couple years from now, you know what I mean? You sort of set some of the framework. You got it started out.
Yeah. Come here, buddy. Bend it. Up. Up. Come on.
Would you move to Austin, or you think is New York the spot?
I was legitimately thinking of moving to Austin.
Yeah, you must have been, right? When everyone was hyping it up.
Before them.
Okay.
It was.
They copied you.
It was, I think they did. It was March, I don't know what it was, the end of March, where it was like, we're full lockdowns. I was like, I don't know what to do. My dad was like, hey, you know, you got to quarantine but if you want to come here. Remember the first one? Like, who knows what's going to happen?
Where's he live?
Baltimore.
Okay.
But he has a home, you know, a house with a yard.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, if you don't want to get stuck in that apartment with your dog, your boyfriend, like, come here. And I was like, oh, maybe I should. I live in a small.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you went back.
Yeah, for 2 months.
You were kind of kicking. Remember, we were kind of like rocking out in the streets over here.
That was the first summer.
So I came
back and it was great. So once the summer, I was like, hey, it's open enough now.
Yeah, summer rocked. They're
like, why do you have to leave? I'm like, because I have a life and I don't want to live with my parents.
How was that?
It was interesting.
How many months?
2.5, 3.
It's weird.
It was weird. At some point, there was no more like pretense. It was
especially
just
because there's like sort of a weird thing with someone like you where it's not like. You know, it's not sad because you're like, no, I have a very successful career.
Yeah, I'm not moving back here because my wife divorced me. And you know, I lost my job. I'm moving back here because of COVID. Like, it's a weird. I don't want to be in a. I like having a yard. I like having the dog run around the yard.
But you could have just went and rented a house. I mean, me and Danny, we went and got a place in Miami. We just stayed there and we had a fucking dude. We had a place that had a, you know, like the ocean right in front of our place,
wow.
And it was pretty sick. Yeah. And we got a studio in the building with like Schultz and those people. Like,
oh really?
With
them?
Well, not cool. In this. But we had like the same way I was saying here, where it's like,
oh yeah,
it would be studio. Sick if a bunch of comics had just a building where everyone had an office.
Really would be like, what are you guys
pirate
doing?
Ship?
I mean, the fun stupid sketches we could film daytime. Like, hey, I just thought
it was the
an
best.
Hour ago. Can you be in this? Can you just come in and say pizza?
It really was one of my when I look back at the favorite periods. I go the period where there was. Eight of us, we all had rooms. It was three or four comedians and three or four like skateboard dudes that became directors and they were all running these little film companies or whatever. And there was just eight or nine of us. We had a place across the street that did half price lunch for a year. And then we just, you know, you just come by if you want to, you do a bit of work, maybe bop into other people's rooms, like
what are you guys
poke
up to?
Around.
Let's all smoke together. Let's whatever.
Dude, it was honestly the sickest. And I go, that's what I wanted to kind of build again here. It'd be cool.
It's a good idea, actually. I'll look into one over there. Wait, but I was going to say something. I was back at home. Oh, I know. And I was
it's your dad
I
and your
just
mom.
My mom and my dad. I just finished the quarantine to make sure we didn't, you know, the 2 week of like, don't see anybody, lock the door, just get delivery groceries. And then I was there the first week and I'm like, okay, New York comedy might never open up again. It's
that's
the most fucking scene. Remember, you got to remember phases of COVID. And I'm like, well, where is it open? I'm like, looks like Texas will be open. And I'm like, I guess I could do like a residency. You had to rethink everything. I guess I could do a residency in like Dallas, maybe once a week, maybe every Monday or every 2 weeks, a Monday in Dallas, and maybe a Tuesday every 2 weeks in Houston.
Yeah, you're mapping out how
and then maybe
make
once
this
a
work.
Month in San Antonio, and then I guess I'll MC some shows at Cap City before it closed. I could do that once a month, maybe MC and get my work out there, maybe do some bar shows. And I was like, maybe. That could work, just in terms of like, where I could do
that's
comedy.
That's funny doomsday thinking. In my mind, I'm like, this will be over in 3 months.
And I told all those guys, and then they were like, I'm literally moving. And once they all be like, I'm moving, I'm like, oh, it's less enjoyable. It doesn't seem cool anymore.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of people like, I think I'm going there too. I'm like, oh, I wanted to go there because I liked Austin.
Yeah, it depends on kind of what you're, like, as much as they want to sell it as like, it's sick, you go, if you want to do actual like 3-4 spots a night on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's just not an option.
No.
And a lot of people go, oh, you don't need to. And it's like, well, it depends on how you do comedy. Like I do if I want to put out the amount of comedy I do.
Yes, you do. People at home listening right now, you've seen the specials on Netflix that are just like, what's going on here? Why is this worse than I thought it would be? The answer is because that guy does not work out every day.
He don't do comedy that much. Yeah.
He used to be a lifer and now he's a hobbyist. And that's okay, be whatever you want, but like that's what you're seeing. A guy's like, why is this worse? And it's not one or two guys, it's all a bunch. And it's like they're not in the fight every day.
Dude,
that's the bottom line.
There's so many things like that where, you know, in any other field, they would be like, listen, if you're a hedge fucking fund manager, right? This is head in 24/7, one of the hardest things in the world to be great at, right? Everyone knows you're not going to just come half-assed at that. It's like, well, because you will lose millions of dollars.
It'd be obvious. You can't just like start without spring training. They're just like, I'll just hit. I'm like, you need some batting practice. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, you'll get fucking murked.
Murdered, yeah.
But comedians, yeah, they do it and they'll put an hour up for everyone to see.
And then the industry goes, well, they're good. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know if they're in shape or not. It's like you're hiring a bodybuilder. It's like Buster Douglas. Well, he beat Mike Tyson. I'm like, yeah, but it's 8 years later. He's a fat fuck.
There's never been a time where their picks are less on. And the industry's always missed something. You know,
they're just going for fame now. That's the problem. The fame is their number one booking reason.
But that's not even true, because if they were going for fame, you know, like Tim Dillon would have TV show offers, like, great. You know, they're actually not even
Tim
just
Dillon
going
is
for
an
fame.
Outlier for sure.
Or whatever, or there's more of him.
It's a mixture,
you know,
of fame and checkbox.
Fame and,
or Don't Get Me in Trouble.
Don't Get Me in Trouble. And
because Tim is a gay wad. So you would think that would give them the gay wad checkbox, but they're
the
like,
gay-wad
check but they're
box.
Like, you bring
but there's
too much.
Tons of him. You know, I always used to say it's always funny to me, you
he's
know,
not,
cause
like he says, he's not their kind of gay.
What they're doing with, you know, whatever, like wild podcaster dudes and being ignoring it. They were doing that forever with like black people, you know, and it is funny to see where they're, you know, when they're even before they're like, you know, we need to, you know, give black people a TV show. And they give like a you know, a black dude that kind of thinks all the stuff they do. You go, yeah, you ain't fucking giving Michael Blackson a TV show. Like, you go, guess what? There's
the
a
only
whole
the accessible
fucking
blacks, dude, or the blacks on a list where you're like, they're on a list. Check them off.
Dude, there's a whole world of like black comics that you go, you never heard of this guy, and he's selling out arenas.
Well, that, oh, the black, my friend Chris Burns, Chris Black Manager Burns, was like, he's now at Live Nation. And he goes, hey, we don't handle black circuit at all. Can I just head that up? Like, we're not making any money off Scrum.
And these guys are killing it.
So it's like, why? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, why don't you know? It's like, yeah, exactly. It's not for me. I can't even understand them sometimes. Yeah. I used to go to Fat Tuesday. I'm like, what are they even saying?
That was sort of the Russell Peters thing with, and I guess the Latino guys have that, where you go, you know, Latino, or Sebastian Maniscalco has that a bit too, where they go, who comes to his shows? You go, every single person of that ethnicity in the entire fucking 400 mile radius.
Right, it's the Chuck Taylor model. Chuck
What's
Taylor's,
Chuck Taylor model?
Yeah, Chuck, Converse All Stars.
Okay,
yeah. They're never gonna be as popular as like Nike's.
But every
but
person
they will
has
always
one.
Make money.
Yeah,
they'll always make $5 million a year as a company. That's why their company keeps getting sold between Reebok and Adidas. They keep getting sold.
They're always
because
on the
it's
run.
An asset. It's never like we got to shut it down. Like, are you crazy?
It's a printer.
It's a printer. Yeah. Definite moneymaker. Like 100%. The funny thing is, I remember talking to Earthquake, the comedian.
Earthquake rules.
Rules. A long time ago. I was 5 years into comedy, maybe, at the Comedy Store. And he was talking about two things. One, he was talking about that the Clumps should have won Eddie Murphy an Oscar because he played played eight characters. And he goes, there's no way you can convince me that any other actor that year was eight times as good as Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, but it's one role. He goes, no, he did eight characters. He goes, someone could be even twice as good as Eddie Murphy. I disagree, but I'll give you that.
Dude,
not
I
eight
love
times.
Fucking wild, like, urban scene takes.
But he was talking about, he goes, I do this many, I've played to, in a year, he said something like 250,000 people. And he goes, I have a draw. Why don't you put me on a sitcom? I crush and I have this draw.
And they go, because we don't pay attention to that thing.
And even Netflix, until Dave Chappelle goes, put my name on it, they're like not interested. And then when Dave Chappelle's like, oh, it's Dave Chappelle Earthquake. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's
a
nuts.
Crusher. A bin crusher. Black too.
Totally.
Like, you guys are looking for blacks.
Here's
a crusher.
Kind of compared to like the DJ thing where you go, there's a million DJs, they're filling arenas that you've never heard of. And then you'll hear some guy on the radio and you go, yeah, they're like kind of popular, but not, you know, not like that.
It's really weird.
Dude, I love the fucking those takes of me and Danny were on tour. I think it was
the black
guy.
Takes. Yeah.
Dude, I won't say his name, but you see, we were watching this guy and he's killing. He's a kind of like a local legend, dude. And yeah. He's doing a bit on how every black person beats the shit out of his dog, right? And he and people are fucking like, no, this was, okay, I'll tell
people
you.
People are loving it or
I'll tell
hate
you the premise.
It.
This guy ruled, by the way, yeah. But the premise is, he goes, see, white people don't care about their kids and black people don't care about their dog. And the bit was like, you know, black people, we don't feed the dogs. We just leave them in the cold. See, white people are like, they're your kids. And you're like, you don't feed them? And then he's like, white people feed their kids. Like, yeah, yeah. Just, like the premise
didn't even match.
See, that's white people. They don't be feeding their kids. And you're like, is that a thing that white people don't feed their kids?
And you're like, wait, no, I got fed. Well, maybe I'm Jewish.
That's so fucking true.
That's true.
He's crushing.
That's so true. And you're like, it's actually not true. It's literally not a true thing.
He goes, we fucking, our dog, we got him on the leash dragging him behind the car. Every black guy's like, I do that. Oh, shit. My buddy keeps sending me photos of these comedy shows where they all got, you know, the ones that have like 25 comics and they all just sell tickets.
Yeah.
The
one guy's
they have the names, right? The one guy's name is Mr. Inappropriate. That's his comic name.
Black comedy names are wild. I was trying to get a date once at the DC Improv, and he was like, hooked me up. He goes, hey, this, just the MC. And he goes, you can do this at Feature Comedian Smokes. It's S-M-O-X-X. I'm like, can I just guess that that's an African-American comedian? He goes, yeah. I mean, yeah.
There was one on the bill. His name was Hollywood. And you go, yeah, you thought that wasn't taken? Hollywood. He's Hollywood.
Gay black in a mannequin.
Smokes is great.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh my God.
I fucking love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but there's always going to be whatever. That's why, I mean, who cares? You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
Especially now when you can make your own thing. You go, if you want to, whether you like it or not, fucking Logan Paul is as famous as fucking anyone in Hollywood.
But then people are like, no, so-and-so's more famous. Like Michael Jost or something. You're like, he's actually not.
Yeah, he's actually not.
He just gets written about more.
And who gives a shit? Yeah, you just pretend he is.
Yeah. Because Nate Bargatze talked about this, where Sebastian was going to the Oscars because his movie was nominated for an Oscar.
Okay.
The Green Book or something like that, or Green Mile, I don't know, whatever it was. He was in it.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in something.
And they gave him, he was like, sweet, so I get to go. My movie's been nominated. He wasn't a lead, you know, it was an ensemble thing. And they're like, yeah, we'll get you a ticket. And he goes, yeah, my wife too. And this is what Nate says. I don't know if the facts are not true. He goes, they're like, no, just you. We don't, like, there's a lot of movies nominated, a lot
That's
of
whatever. That's how low they see him.
And then he got a ticket, and he was in the balcony in the back row, touching the back wall.
And this guy's like, I'm selling a Madison Square Gardens with a tweet.
He's looking down at like Will Smith's son and all these people. And he goes, I would fill up way bigger rooms than all of you. Except maybe Will Smith and Brad Pitt.
Not Jaden Smith.
The rest of you, I would fill up, or more people will come see me.
Yeah.
I'll fill up this place, the Kodak Theater. I'll fill it up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, nope. That's how shit on stand-up comedy is.
It's so fucking low. It's even funnier in Canada because it really, none of it matters. You know what I mean?
Because you're not going anywhere. Yeah.
But then when the things that they push, and you're just like, it's a whole fake operation that doesn't even mean anything for them.
Yeah. Or the show Girls, feel like it's big, and you look at the ratings, you're like, it's bad.
That
is
wild.
It just got written up so much because all the bloggers loved it.
Yeah, those are funny things to find out where you go, that big hit, and you go, that's we have a lot of that in Canada where... When I was growing up,
you thought they were big hits?
We didn't know that the Canadian bands and the American bands, when we watch MTV, we would see, you know, the Foo Fighters, Nirvana, or whatever, you know what I mean, bands like that, next to our bands like the ones I was in. And if you're in high school, you didn't realize, and it wasn't the way it is now, where you know every number is available. So when you look at a song on Spotify, you know how big that was, and YouTube. So kids are conditioned to probably know the difference now. But at the time, you go, oh, it's that band from TV. It really didn't like register. And then, me and Berg were talking about this actually recently. It's funny because you'd see those guys, you go, they were in your mind as big as Kurt Cobain. And then you'd see him like as the bartender.
in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, that's so funny how much like they just brainwashed us.
Oh yeah. Exactly. It seems big. I remember doing a book show like at a restaurant. With a guy who did a half-hour special on Comedy Central, and I was like, it just like,
wait, what?
I thought you had a mansion. And he was just doing a 10-minute spot on a fucking, in the back of a
He's like,
restaurant.
Yeah, I got $20,000.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah, they got $20,000 and moved on. It was like, it just, I got it later, but I'm like, you were on TV. Did you get on MTV? Were you on that at all?
Yeah, we were on, with the band, we had some like top 30 countdowns. The Canadian one's called Much Music.
I remember Much Music.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, you actually know a lot of Canadian stuff. Is it because you tour there a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know,
and also
like,
I've hung
comics.
Out there and I hung out with a Toronto scene before you were in it, probably.
But yeah, we had the music video era. That was when I used to. That's how when I started. I was big into making videos and stuff. I always have, and I started a little. I started a little production company in Canada when I was at the pirate ship, and I made probably like 80 music videos of other people's stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
I did a lot of rap music videos because it would just be one of those things where the word would get out and then, you know, whatever, you had your thing and then someone would be like, yo, my boy, blah, blah.
I heard you did a good job on this.
And then, so I had a little stint where I made 5 or 6 religious rap videos. And the guys, so I would show up at the thing. And
wait, religious themed or they were Christian rap?
Christian rappers. But it would be some dude.
You're the wrong
dude,
guy for this.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, some dude. And it was, dude, it was the weirdest period of my life.
Pass to see if you can do the job.
The one guy, he goes, he had this song and it was like, I don't do it because I love it. I do it because I love him. I love him. I love him. And it was so 10 or 15 guys, all like hood dudes, matching shirts, like very positive, like guys. And then they all, it was nine like fucking, you know, kind of like tough looking black guys being all standing there. I love him. And they're all, you know, I'm like standing by the camera being like, yo, this is a wild period of my life. Like, and then, and then they also did the thing where they wanted to do the thing that all comedians, like the black comedians do in their videos where they hold hands before and do a prayer. So they would make me do the prayer and I would just like the whole time, like, don't laugh. Like, don't laugh at their thing. I'm trying not to laugh. And they're, you know, bless us for this fucking music video. Bless us for this camera and this, you know, day that we're able to film and, yeah, you know, the ability for me to make this music and shit like that, right? And I'm just like, holy fuck, this is crazy.
Dude, me and Rogan were in Colorado, I think, and we were on a morning radio. Morning zoos, you know, they're always making jokes and shit. Yeah, so they start this fucking joke, Pledge of Allegiance. And they're like, we pledge allegiance to the flag. And we're like, hey, and then they just did the whole Pledge of Allegiance.
And you're like, oh.
You're like, oh, this is not, okay. And we're like,
yo, people do this.
Yeah. All right, Long Days, let's break it up.
Break it up.
Guys, yeah, the special. There's White Immigrant on YouTube now. Check it out right now. If you like this episode, what a better payback for Ryan than to go check out a special.
Free. You pop free. On over.
Leave a comment on it. Like it. Get it pushed up higher. But it's there right now. Went up yesterday.
Smash,
so it's brand new.
The
so,
like button.
Smash the link button. Yeah, just keep hitting 1,000 times. You can't really do that, right? It's just once.
On and off. I don't know. Yeah.
On, off, on, off. I wonder if that would help.
The universe feels the energy.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy. Oh, you got a podcast too, right?
Yeah, and then my podcast is The Boys Cast with Ryan Long.
Okay. Is Danny in that?
Yeah, and I do it with nice. Danny. Yeah.
Well, she'll find it for you. Kyle will ask you for some clips. The Boys
Cast. Oh, you put a lot of stuff in the notes, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Like questions I want to get to and then music and shit. And go out with a Beck song, maybe one of your John Stones songs. Do you have stuff online?
Of course, yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll play a John Stones song to start. Yeah, maybe we'll play Immigrant Song because you're a white immigrant at the end. Yeah, we'll see.
Immigrant Song's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Like the thematic, like why this? You're like, listen to the lyrics. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it now. I did my best one is I did a podcast about diabetes and I put Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
You can't put that on YouTube, though, can you?
No. No music on YouTube. Go to Spotify, guys. Subscribe to Spotify.
Yeah, you're missing
and
out.
Apple Podcasts. You got the music. Yeah. And all the ads, because I can't do any of the drug ads on YouTube either.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out the mix of that. Are you more audio still?
More audio, for sure. But, you know, I'll put thought into YouTube. This setup.
I mean, just number-wise, though. You do more audio listens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. So, yeah. I will sometimes have on YouTube, if I have an ad, I can only do on audio. Because YouTube's like, can't do Kratom, can't do this.
You can't do Kratom? I thought you could do Kratom now.
It's 50-50. I don't know. It's legal, so I'm like, what are we talking about
here?
You
got
a guy. Yeah. So, but I'll just like put a fake ad sometimes in that place. I'll be like, hi guys, today's episode is brought to you by pissing your pants a little bit. After you take whatever it is. I'm just like, I need a placeholder. So that's a better for YouTube, but the music is more fun for Spotify.
You know, they're changing all the time. They go, sometimes you can do gambling, sometimes you can't.
Gambling is 50?
Yeah, a lot of people were getting taken down for the MyBookie stuff.
Wow,
but
interesting.
Then, it seems to be fine now. But
it's everywhere now. America's about to go bankrupt with all this legal gambling. It's gonna
legal gambling's
bad.
Going pretty hard, yeah. I mean, basically, they already have legal gambling called the fucking stock market, in which I got fucking ripped to shreds this year.
Oh, really?
Oh my God.
GameStop didn't work out for you?
Yeah, I wish I fucking did GameStop. That'd be the that's the least of my worries.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Make sure to subscribe to Ryan's podcast, The Boys Cast, and watch a special White Immigrant on YouTube right now. And check out all of his sketches on YouTube at Ryan Long Comedy. He's got some great ones on there. The racist verse, is it verse woke?
Wokes and racists agree?
Wokes and racists agree. That was the first one that I saw that I was like, damn. Everybody saw that one. It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that
was
kind of
that was a guy's a launcher.
Yeah, the two shirt videos. I
like your interviews.
Yeah, the one street interview thing that like really popped when I first moved here.
Which one?
It was I was asking a girl who had nicer titties, and then these ladies came and they're like yelling and screaming at me and stuff.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great. I like the one where you're like, "Hey, I know you're not a racist, but you have bald hair, so I'm just gonna call you." So as a skinhead, what do you think? And the guy's like, "I'm not a skinhead." You just kept. I was like, "No, I know."
That's
I
favorite need. Thing to do.
He just kept going, "But I'm not." He didn't just leave.
Just pretend you're a skinhead. It's fine.
He's like, no.
He's like, you're gonna ruin my life.
I'm a Red Sox fan, but I can't pretend I'm a skinhead. Yeah, like, come on, just pretend.
Yeah, just bullying people.
Yeah. All right, Ryan.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Keith.
Episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Ryan Long, for coming in. Don't forget to check out his special White Immigrant on YouTube now, and check out his podcast, The Boys Cast. Check him out on YouTube too. He's got tons of fucking these great sketches. They're just like really, really funny. White versus Roke, or White Roke, White Woke. No, Racist and Woke Friends. That's a great one. His Man of the Street stuff is great. Watch him try to not crack up when he's talking to a chud. It's great. One more time, tickets at arishavir.com for Fort Wayne. Show added with Big J and Robbie Kelly. Grand Rapids, Detroit, Appleton, St. Louis, Buffalo, Louisville, Minneapolis, and Chicago. And save June 11th for New York City. That's the episode, everybody. Hope you enjoy. Please subscribe here, Patreon, YouTube, Spotify, at all the places. Ari Shaffir at all of them. And my Instagram, I'm starting up the fucking tour poster things again. No nudity, you guys. No nudity. No even alluded to sexual acts. They'll just ban me. It's such a weird standard. But anyway, short salad and stupid clothing combo and like all the guys that's there's tons. That sends stuff in. And all the new guys. Any suggestion you want for my tour, if you bring it along with a tour poster, if it makes me laugh or cringe or fucking react emotionally, hey, then I have no choice. But by the comedy gods, to rename my tour to what you suggest. I'm Ari Shaffir. This has been Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 463, The Warped Tour. For Ryan Long, I'm Ari Shaffir saying, so long, everybody. I'll see you on the slopes. I think I remember everything. Take the toughest man and really flies with a video tape taking sides.
wake, it's snow, it's not.